I'm missing the gavel, so bang. Thank you. Today is regular meeting, March 21st, 2022. The board's mission is to protect the health, welfare, and safety of the public who seek and use the services of nursing care institution administrators and assisted living facility managers. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02, notice is hereby given to the members of the State of Arizona Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers, the board, and to the general public that the board will hold a regular meeting, monthly meeting, board meeting, which is open to the public on today, March 21st, 2022, regular board meeting to be held at 1740 West Adams Street, Board Meeting Room C, Phoenix, Arizona, 85007 at 9 a.m. Time now is 9:01. Persons with a disability may request a reasonable accommodation, such as a sign language interpreter, by contacting Jack Conker at 602-542-8156 or through the Arizona Relay Service at 711. Please make your request as soon as early as possible to allow time to arrange the accommodation. The board member reserves the right to change the order of items. The board president, reserves the right to change the order of items listed on the agenda except for matters scheduled at a specific time. This agenda is subject to change up to 24 hours prior to the meetings. Board members may be present by telephone. During the course of the meeting, the board, upon the majority vote of the members, may hold an executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice from the board's attorneys on any matter listed on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A and for the purposes of discussion or consideration of confidential matter pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2. The executive session will be held immediately after the vote and will not be open to the public. As a reminder, the resident's name is confidential. You must either refer to the resident by their initials or by resident. Items that are referred as a consent agenda may be considered as a single action unless a board member removes a specific item for review, discussion, and action separately from the other consent agenda items. The board will review, discuss, and take action on the following matters listed on the agenda. The agenda for March 21st, 2022 regular board meeting is as follows. Call to order.
I'm sorry. President Kinner?
Here.
President or Vice President Archer?
Here.
Member Randolph?
Here.
Member Siemens?
Here.
Member Stephen?
Here.
Member Campbell?
Here.
Three, declaration of conflict of interest, ARS 38-503. Are there any conflicts of interest presented today?
Madam Vice President, any conflict of interest, or do we have any recusals for any of the board agenda items that we're aware of at this time? Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Call to the public. Is that just me echoing?
There's somebody that's not muted. We're getting a little feedback here.
I feel like I'm being mocked.
It's Fred.
Call to the public. Persons who want to address the board do not need to request permission in advance, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board form so that the board is aware that they are here and that they want to speak to the board. Each person who wants to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on each issue to a reasonable number of persons. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02H, the board can discuss or take action only on matters that are listed on the agenda. Board action on issues that are not listed on the agenda, limited to directing staff to study the matter, or to schedule the matter for further discussion at a future board meeting.
Do we have anybody here that wishes to address the board that is not on the agenda? This is the call to public. This is your opportunity to address the board for things that are not on the agenda. Anybody?
Seeing none, we'll move on to five. Review and discussion of possible action on approval of minutes. The board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.02 431-03A2 to discuss confidential matters. ARS 38-431-03A3 to receive legal advice. Board review, consideration, and action on approval of minutes. Do we have a motion to approve minutes?
I move that we approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Thank you. Are we going to do a roll call?
Member Simmons? Member Campbell?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
That passes. 6, formal administrative hearings, proposed consent agreement or motion to deem allegations admitted. The board may go into an executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431-03A2 to discuss confidential information, or ARS 38-431-03A3 to receive legal advice. And we have a formal administrative hearing with a consent agreement to or motion to deem allegations admitted.
Madam Vice President, members of the board, this is a time-specific item set for 9:45.
Okay.
If we could defer to then, I would appreciate it.
That's perfect.
Thank you.
We will move on to 7 and come back. Review and discussion of possible action on complaint case reviews. The board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431-03A2 to discuss confidential information, or ARS 38-431-03A3 to receive legal advice. The name of a resident is confidential information. In public session, the board member, staff, and the licensee should refer to the resident as resident or use the resident's initials. The board may block the vote on these initial case reviews as desired. Are we going to go straight into hearing cases? Yeah.
Madam Vice President, yes. The way we did it last month, which worked pretty well, is for our President Campbell just went down through the list to see who was here,
okay.
Took them in order, and then we did the rest of them in a block vote after we got through everybody that was attending.
Super. That's what we will do. First up, then, is case number 21-011. Deborah Fain.
The board president to the board chair members, Deborah Fain, per her attorney, will not be attending this matter.
Are we going to hear without her here?
We can move forward, yes.
Okay. Then, what do we have?
We can, since they're not here, we can continue.
Oh, we're going to come back to her. Okay.
Yes.
Fine. Number 2, case number 21-109, Felicia Mays.
Ms. Mays is also not present.
All righty, moving on. Number 3, case number 21-149, Seth Amalo. Amalo? Seth?
Amalo.
Do we hear from him?
No, he's not present.
Moving on. Number 4, case number 21-154, Connie Wilson.
Come on up.
Come on up. Oh, yes.
Can you announce what page it starts on with each one?
On page 133, Connie Wilson. 132.
Good morning. Our investigator will present the case.
Good morning. This is case number 21-154. The licensee is Connie Wilson. On August 19, 2021, the Department of Health Services conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Ohana Senior Care, LLC, located at 4713 East Cecilia Street in Tucson, Arizona. Compliance inspection identified 10 deficiencies in 7 different areas. Ms. Wilson was notified of the complaint, and she is here today to represent herself. On approximately October 20th, 2021, DHS enforcement action and impose a civil money penalty of $1,250 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violations. The manager failed to ensure compliance with ARS 36-411. The manager failed to ensure a manager or caregiver who was able to read, write, understand, and communicate in English was on an assisted living facility premises. And number three, the manager failed to ensure at least a manager or a caregiver was present at an assisted living home when a resident was present in the assisted living home. That concludes my summary.
Thank you.
Is this a home?
This is a care home. Nine bed license.
Okay. And then the kind of survey that was how many residents?
Four.
And can you address the issue of the, I believe the first one is the fingerprint card.
First one.
Or the one that went to enforcement.
The one that went to enforcement was where the caregiver had an emergency and failed to call me or the owner. We had no idea. Well, the surveyor came during the where she had left to go home to check on her daughter who was having a seizure. She kind of wasn't thinking right. She just didn't follow protocol. So we were left in a position where we didn't know with the surveyor called the owner. The owner then called the caregiver and said, what's going on? And she said, I had an emergency, I believe. There was a housekeeper there that didn't speak English or didn't write English. And that's what the surveyor is talking about in the complaint. I was never notified through the whole thing from the owner or the caregiver. I had no idea. And I do monitor them.
And so when you're monitoring, how much time do you spend here?
I go there and I spend anywhere from an hour to 2 hours.
How often?
And once a week. And it's clean. This is something that's unheard of for me because every time I go unannounced, I go in there, everything is immaculate. There's no chemicals like it said on this complaint where there was a bug spray can out. There's never none of this. The caregivers are compassionate, the house is clean, and I walk through, I check everything, the door alarms are on, the bed cabinets are locked, the chemical, the cleaning products are locked up. I've never in the 4 years, almost 4 years, have seen any of this.
How did you hire someone who couldn't read or speak English?
To the issue here, Ms. Wilson. How, and can you verify again, how many hours a week do you spend in this home?
Hour to 2 hours. It depends. I go in there and, especially when there's only four residents, it's really quiet. There's nothing going on. Most of them are sleeping. And
how would you please answer my question, ma'am? How many hours a week?
1 to 2 hours.
For a week?
Per week.
Okay. Members of the board, I think this is a very clear case. This is a manager who is not involved with her home. When the health department shows up for an inspection, the owner was called and the manager herself was not called. And Ms. Wilson, you have to understand that as the manager of the home, you are responsible for all of the day-to-day operations of the entire home, the entire operation.
I understand that, but it is...
Ma'am, my point is that you don't spend sufficient time in the home, and it appears to me that you're not in managerial control of the home, and it's that of the owner.
I've tried to take control. The owner is pretty adamant about doing her... She comes there and spends all day there, and she's pretty adamant that she wants to run the thing. I just make sure I'm in compliance.
That being said, ma'am, why is it that you continue to leave your certificate in the home? If you don't have control of the home, you're responsible. And so now your certificate is exposed.
Okay, so I will change this. I'm a new manager, I've only been doing this for a couple of years, so I'm a new manager, and if you're saying that I need to be there more, then that's what I will do. But talking to
you, I cannot tell you how many hours you need to spend there, but you need to be involved in your home. You have the state health department shows up in your home that you manage, and you were not even notified. Doesn't that bother you?
It does bother me, and I have told them to call me when there's an issue, when there's a surveyor there, and I've never, they won't call me. I don't know why. It's not that I don't want to be involved.
What are you doing? Excuse me, what did you say? You do want to be involved or you don't want to be involved?
I do want to be involved more, but the owner is complaining about with the pandemic, she doesn't have the funds to have me and a caregiver, a house cleaner, and only four clients. And so she pretty much wants to be there instead of paying me to be there. She has a caregiver herself, but she just got her fingerprint clearance card, so she now wants to be involved in more care with the clients. So is this something that I'm going to have to work out with her? I agree with you 100%. I do not like having these issues and not being able to make my mark on it. So
I think Member Seamus had a question.
Yeah, I did. Who does the hiring?
Oh, the owner.
Okay, so you're responsible for that too. In the regulation, it says that the caregivers have to be able to read and write English.
This wasn't a caregiver. She was a housekeeper. That's what happened that day. When the caregiver had to get leave for emergency, she wasn't thinking straight and left the clients with the housekeeper. And then the surveyor showed up and called the owner, so then the owner knew, and I didn't know.
Those surveyors have impeccable timing. What have you done since?
But I'm glad they did, because I was unaware.
What have you done since with the person who left the building?
We have gone through the staffing protocols with her, and I've had verbal discussions with her about never, ever, ever leaving the clients with anybody unless you call me first. I've talked to the owner about how this could never happen again. We went through all the SOBs that I had. We fixed everything. Everything is compliance.
Did you write the plan of correction?
No.
You did not?
No, I did not. It was done by a surveyor.
A who?
She used to be a surveyor.
A consultant?
Yes, a consultant.
You used to be a surveyor?
Yes.
And so your owner hired a consultant to come write the plan of correction?
Yes, and without my knowledge. But it was after the fact that it was done that I was told, so.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of stuff they don't tell you.
I know, so it's going to be stopped because...
At this point in time, right when this took place?
Yes.
What have you done differently? That's the question.
What did I go more? Frequently, unannounced.
So how often would that be now?
Now it would be about every other day. I think what I'd like to do is to get the cameras put up and working. The owner says that the batteries got too expensive and she didn't want to do it no more. So I am going to pay for the batteries and I'm going to have access to the cameras on my phone. I can watch it when I'm not there from my home.
Why do you remain the manager of this facility? Why do you hang your license on the wall?
I've already given warning. I won't be there.
Explain to me that you are not in control. The owner is in control. The owner makes the decisions. You don't get called by when the surveyors come in. Somebody else writes the plan of correction. You spend 1 or 2 hours a week.
Yes,
there.
I've already given
Why
notice.
Why do you hang your license there, and how long has that been going on for?
Well, we don't always have surveyors doing complaints. We've been have some good inspections.
But you've been a manager for 6 years?
Because she is
no,
there.
You've been a manager for 6 years.
No.
No. Got your license in 2016. Renewed, is that right?
I didn't realize it's been 6 years. Sorry.
Manager Wilson, the board member's question was, since August of last year, what practices have you changed? You're still going in 1 to 2 hours a week. If you haven't changed a whole lot, now's the time to say you haven't changed a whole lot.
I haven't changed a whole lot, but I'm going to because I've already given notice that I'm not going to be there much longer.
When is your termination? When are you planning to terminate your...
I gave her 2 months. Now I want to make sure everything's cleared up before I leave.
Thank you.
Because that all boils down to she doesn't want to pay a manager full time, and it needs to be done. I see this.
Well, a message needs to be clear to everyone that our job is not tied to a salary. Your job is the job regardless if you put your piece of paper on that wall. That is your job. And so if your agreement with the owner is not satisfactory to you to do that job, it would be time probably to do something else. But we're not here to give that advice. It's just a friendly reminder.
Thank you.
Well, if you don't do something else when it's not satisfactory, you and your license carry the liability.
Thank you. You know, a lot of this is because I am learning as a manager, is that a lot of stuff that I wasn't taught is it's happening. And so I am educating myself too. At the time when this is going on, I'm learning how to do all the things. So, I'm done learning at this point, and I would like to move on.
You've had that license since 16. So
I have.
Yes. So okay. It seems like you would know.
But I've been there learning 3 to 4 years at this place. And so never have I run into a circumstance where. In 13 years of caregiving, have I ever run into anybody or know of anybody that's gotten up off the job and left? That's the thing that that's new to me, because everybody knows protocols.
And we don't always have an opportunity to, we're not in that, if we're not there, we can't make a decision for another human being, whether they leave the facility or not. And that would be one issue. I think, in general, the concept would be that maybe if you were present more, that there would be more accountability of those caregivers. If she was watching her own daughter, would she walk out the door?
That's true.
She would have vulnerable adults behind.
I do not agree with her doing it. And the manager says she's a real good, compassionate caregiver who made a mistake. Let's let her stay. And to me, it's just, I don't agree with it. I think there should be consequences for doing something that. So.
If you don't agree with it, you better get out of there.
Okay, thank you.
And the consequences, unfortunately, are yours.
Yeah, I know.
And please understand that this board cannot give you advice, legal advice, can't tell you what to do. It's your license and your responsibility.
Thank you. I appreciate all your inputs because it's very important.
Yes, I'll make a motion. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.0783, ARS 44610, ACR 4-33-407AB1, for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 21-1-54 involving Manager Connie Wilson and the board offer a consent agreement to resign within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate to state the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation of all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $595. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and document completion in each of the following areas. Personnel requirements, I'd like to add ethics and environmental standards. Any costs of the probation are those of the licensee or certificate holder.
Roll call, please. I'm sorry.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member, Vice President Archer?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Steven?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Manager Wilson, the staff will reduce the board's decision in writing and send that to you. If you have questions about it, then you can chat with me.
Okay.
Thank you for coming down here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's see, next up we have case number 21-159, Robin Hawkins. Hello.
Hello.
Page 200.
Yes.
Thank you.
This is case 21-159. The licensee is Robin Hawkins. On July 1st, 2021, the Department of Health Services conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Grace and Mercy Assisted Living located at 322 East Fern Rock Drive in Phoenix, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified four deficiencies in three different areas. Ms. Hawkins was notified of the complaint and she did respond. On approximately August 3rd, 2021, HS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violation. The manager failed to ensure compliance with ARS 36.11. Ms. Hawkins is here today to respond to the complaint.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Hello.
Hello.
Is this a house?
Yes, it is.
How many how many beds?
Five.
And so it says here that the fingerprint application was lost in your car?
That is correct. During that period of time, I lost both of my caregivers, and I was playing caregiver, and in the process of training and hiring a new associate, we did complete the application. We did have the fingerprints. I took the envelope with both in it and put it in my car with some other mail, and evidently I did not follow through in getting it to the post office and getting a receipt for it. And I don't like excuses because that's not what I'm, but at that time it was very hectic. I was trying to be caregiver, manager, and all of that at the same time, plus train a new caregiver. And I forgot to follow through with it. But I did initiate it. The application was in the file when the surveyor came, dated within the 20 days. However, it had not been processed by DPS because it was not met. I searched the facility in my car and I did find it.
Can you take your mask down?
I'm sorry, sure. I did find the envelope and then I processed it. The same application was processed and the caregiver did receive her level one fingerprint clearance card.
And what is our rule say about fingerprinting and having
within 20 days of hire? It must be submitted. And it was filled out, it was not mailed. That's an excuse, that's my fault. And I do know the rule, I do follow the rule. But in this instance, I failed to follow through.
Okay. And the service plan, this brought some questions to mind. We're talking about somebody. Is this house licensed for behavioral health?
It is not.
So we have somebody who's listed as behavioral care.
They take behavioral meds.
And so what was cited was that the service plan didn't include those psychotropic meds on the service plan itself.
Right, because the service plan was, I was written up C-med list, okay? So it did not have that last page signed with the list of the meds.
But it was signed?
The service plan was signed.
By a nurse?
Yes.
Or?
Yes.
Okay.
It.
And so the surveyor wrote that up because?
Because that one page did not have them listed out. It just said C-med list.
Okay, well then the next citation says that the manager failed, that a written service plan included the signature and date from a medical practitioner or behavioral health professional. So this is all for the same person who is
yes.
only, what, without going into detail, we don't know this person's name, what is their diagnosis?
They're bipolar.
And is that their primary diagnosis?
That is one of their diagnoses. That's not their, I mean, they have diabetes, I mean, they have other medical.
Is that their primary diagnosis? Is that what lands them in your assisted living?
Diabetes.
Diabetes
and and this resident has been in my home for 9 years, and my care plans have always had C-med list, but have been signed and have never, this has never been brought to my attention.
So the notion would be that whoever is signing off on your care plan can look in your MAR and see the med list. And
no, they did.
They look in the MAR. Okay.
Yeah, they did.
I'm baffled as to why this person is being classified as I'm curious why you're being written up for behavioral care person versus the way this is written makes it sound like they want you to be behavioral health, which you're not. I don't know. Can somebody else weigh in on that? I'm sort of confused.
I don't think that was part of the DHS enforcement action, even though it was written up. I could be wrong.
It was not.
They didn't substantiate it.
They didn't.
It was not the enforcement. The enforcement was the.
Was the fingerprint card.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, I guess the question is, other than having the caregiver shortage and floundering around trying to take care of everything, what do you do now instead so that your fingerprint application doesn't get lost in your car?
I will ensure that I take it in and get a receipt from the post office showing the date that it was mailed and follow up within 10 days to make sure DPS receives it. That will not ever happen. I'm well aware, I've been a manager for over 12 years. I've never had enforcement of any type in the past, and I don't intend to have any in the future. So,
how long did the person work without a fingerprint card? So when you do the application, you make it come back to you and not the person.
Right. And I typically will check DPS based on the application number. It was issued the 15th of July, which the survey was, I believe, the 1st of July, and that's when I recognized that it hadn't been submitted. It was submitted right after that.
What was the date of hire with the person?
I believe May 2nd.
So over a couple of months.
And it was a replacement because it had expired.
Anybody else have questions? I think we could all appreciate the notion that we've all lived through some pretty hectic times here with caregiver shortages and COVID and everything that's gone on. And had this person, do you know when their previous card expired?
I don't know the date.
Okay. But you knew, did you run their previous card?
I did not. I did not run the previous card.
So when they came to you, you knew that the card was expired and that new credits needed to be done.
Right.
And you proceeded to do that. Yes. Does this person have a caregiver certificate and
everything else? And all the references, everything was followed.
I personally don't see a lot here. I think this manager knows what's happening.
You could do a letter of concern.
We could. Mm-hmm. We could. Any other board member thoughts?
Ken or Fred?
No, I don't have any issue.
What would you be inclined to do, Ken?
I would do a letter of concern. The concern being that the manager failed to follow the required fingerprint guidelines.
Yeah, I'll go along with that, Jim.
Is that a motion and a second?
Yeah, I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 21-159 against manager Robert Hawkins. Issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is the manager failed to follow fingerprint clearance guidelines for staff.
I'll get that.
Roll call, please.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Motion carries. Sorry.
So the board voted to issue a non-disciplinary letter of concern. It's a warning that fingerprint card issue not go to happen again. Thank you for coming down today.
I will promise you will not have that yet.
Thank you. Next up we have case 21-160, Carlos Robles.
Vice President, Ms. Robles emailed shortly a time ago and said he would not be able to make it for because of an emergency.
Okay. Next up we have case 21-162, Cindy Baker.
Madam Vice Chairman, just a quick reminder, we do have that hearing starting at 9:45, so we have about five, no more than 10 minutes to get through this particular matter for that time specific.
So don't dally or dilly. What is the page number?
I'm sorry.
It's 252.
Thank you.
Good morning. This is case number 21-162. The licensee is Cindy Baker. On October 5th, 2021, DHS conducted an on-site assisted living compliance inspection at Susan Care Home, LLC, located at 15842 West Mercer Lane in Surprise, Arizona. The on-site inspection identified 9 deficiencies in 6 different areas. Ms. Baker was noticed of the complaint, and she did send in a written response. On approximately November 22nd, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $750 upon the licensee owner. And Mrs. Baker, I'm going to just allow her to respond, is here to respond to this complaint.
Thank you. And this is the one where we had some confusion between the owners. Is that the right one?
Yes, and who the manager actually was at the time.
Can you identify yourself to the board, please, and your position title?
Yes, my name is Cindy Baker. I am a manager at, I was a manager at Spencer Hill at the time of the, time of the survey.
Thank you.
Thank you. And how many, is this a home?
Yes.
Licensed for how many?
Nine.
And so the enforcement actions were CPR first aid training and a medical record that didn't include the flu and vaccine election.
Yeah, what happened? Okay, the owner used to manage this place. I know him for, I've known him for a while. Okay. He was trying to leave the country to go take care of land in India. So that's why I became the manager for him, because he was going to be gone more than 30 days. But it was only for a temporary basis. So when I became the manager there, that was in March, and it was supposed to end December of 2020. But because of the pandemic, he couldn't leave. So
he couldn't leave.
Oh. And take care of that. So it went on into this 2021. So he ended up leaving after the after the survey to go take care of that. I wasn't hired to be a full-time manager there, but putting my license on the wall, that is my responsibility. So I would go in like twice a month. But he still managed everything. So he was the manager previously, and he's the manager now.
So why did your license stay, or your certificate rather, stay on the wall if he couldn't leave the country?
Well, he was. We didn't know when everything was going to lift. You know, nobody did at the time.
So once you
we just waited to see when that was going to happen. Then, and I, you know, after this happened, because I couldn't, I didn't have any control in that place. He still controlled everything. And so it made it hard for me to do anything. It was his first aid and CPR card that is up for this. So it was difficult dealing with him. And I don't know if it was a, I know him, I knew his wife, I knew the home before he even bought it. So it was more of a favor thing and trying to help him out a little bit. And it just backfired for both of us, because it didn't, you know, he still did things. I tried calling doctors, I tried calling families, and they still called him. So I couldn't do anything there, and that's why after the survey, I told him, hey, I can't do this. This is a part of the plan of corrections, is you be your own manager, because I can't manage the place. Well, I'm not even managing the place. I wasn't even there for the enforcement. He did all of that. I gave him a person to help him out. I did try to, I got him a Google calendar for all the things he needed, but he needed to follow through with a lot of this, because I couldn't do it. His caregiver wouldn't even call me when things were going on, so I found it to be difficult to manage the place.
And so at what point in time did you take your certificate?
I took it down and I notified DHS of that. So that's in the, it's in the report.
And
so
you notified this board?
Yeah, I notified this board, but this board, for some reason, didn't even have that I was even the manager there. I still have like some other addresses like Scottsdale in there, and I recently said, please, can you delete it? Because my online account won't let me do it. You can't go in, you know how you have this change of address and you can do it. I can't even do it. So right now I manage and own my own homes. So this one was, it really was, it was a favor for a prince when he could take care of his land. But it didn't help.
So you manage how many homes?
Well, right now I manage two. I don't manage Susan Carrick home, but I manage my home.
But you did manage three at one time?
No. I just started managing a second now.
The CPR first aid card was his.
Yes.
How would you address the flu and pneumonia vaccine election?
That issue, a lot of his residents were on Arizona long-term care. So their case managers would set up their flu shots every year. But since the pandemic, it was difficult, more difficult for them to come out, because these people can't move, they can't leave at home. So they wanted their flu, they used to have them, and they weren't coming out to do it. And the family should decline, and because I'm not there, and because he's there, it was a lack of communication, lack of him taking on things and me helping him and all, it just didn't, it didn't work out.
But were you there or not there during the inspection? Because you said you weren't.
I came during the inspection.
So you were the manager during that inspection?
And yeah, I helped
for a while.
I was the manager during that inspection, yeah.
How long before the inspection were you the manager?
I started being the manager in 2020. So it was supposed to end at that same year, but it didn't. I never put in for a new appointment, but my license was still on the wall.
And so I understand the concept that all techs will provide flu vaccinations.
Yeah.
This citation is not for that specifically. What is it that we're supposed to have?
Either they decline it or they accept getting or have a proof of having the flu or pneumonia. But these people used to get the flu or have the date of when their last pneumonia was through Altex. And because I'm not the point of contact with the case manager, and I depended on him to do that, it didn't get done.
And how often are we supposed to do that?
Yearly, annually.
Any other members have questions?
I'm not a board member, but I have a quick question.
Sure.
So I've heard kind of the narrative. Started in 2020, you took your manager certificate down someplace in the fall of 21, is that correct?
Right.
So there's a lot of deficiencies here. What responsibility do you have for these deficiencies if you were there for, 8-9 months before the inspection?
Well, as far as the CPR and first aid, that is my responsibility to make sure he got it.
Uh-huh.
But he wasn't one of the workers, and he didn't work alone. Like he wasn't there by himself. So the main people that were on had their CPR and first aid. So his expired, I think, in the beginning of the year. He got it the next day after the survey. So that, you know, when there was proof that he ended up getting it.
What about the disaster plan and documentation of drills?
I'm asking about
your response. It was a finding. It did go to enforcement for the facility, but under your watch, that was a deficiency, correct?
Yeah, the review, the annual review, not the plans. It's the annual review of the disaster plan. Now, we went through it all together. That honestly did get missed, and that was not fault because we were doing all of the annuals together. So that wasn't my fault. I was there at that time.
What about the TB documentation?
He had a nursing care company that would come in and do that. And he's had that company for years before I even started with him. So some issue happened where she no longer was taking on this company and sold it to another nurse. And, you know, I didn't know that. They told me after the fact. I ended up meeting the nurse. She ended up going through and making sure all of those TVs and service plans were done. But that still is falling in that same issue where I'm not the one fully taking this on because he's still managing the place.
And that's why I asked you the question, because I heard the narrative that you were having communication difficulties, but you're the manager, you're responsible for these things. I'm trying to make that either connect or disconnect between those two things that were going on.
That's why I'm not the manager.
What I'm hearing is that for months, she couldn't manage the home because this guy is somewhere else for whatever reason. So she just stayed there and let her life die, even though she couldn't manage it or take care of the patient.
Well, this is all happening in the block of time in the summer and to the fall. So I'm getting hit with all of this one after the other.
A block in the summer and the fall in my world is a real long time to worry about if patients are getting taken care of. I don't care if it was a day or a year. You just flat didn't do your job.
Thank you for responding. responding. I don't have anything further. Thank you, Vice President.
I think there is a disconnect. I mean, I understand how you thought it was probably okay to take hands off, since this owner had been his own manager. And unfortunately, he didn't let you function as a manager, but left you to hang to dry as the manager and take responsibility. Is he here with you to defend you? We do see this a lot. I think you know what, I believe you know what you're doing, and you're managing two other homes. Have you had recent surveys there?
Yeah, I have had, not an issue at all, because I'm in control of that, you know. I have the say, I have the contact. People talk to me, not someone else as the middle person, and you don't have access, right?
Any questions, or is anybody,
Ken or Fred, thoughts? Wally?
No, I'm okay. I said what I had to say. We didn't hear way too much of the people being somewhere else and somebody else is managing for them. Nobody really knows what's been going on with the facility, and there doesn't seem to be too much that VHS can even do about it.
I didn't catch
the
bridge.
Anything?
Yeah, I think it's I just like to know. You've jumped through a lot of hoops for this thing. What have you learned? And how are you going to act differently in the future?
Well, I've learned that if I'm not the one able to manage the place myself, then don't put my manager up there. And then I've rectified that already. I've already said, hey, you know, I can't do this. I even offered him, Jeff is one of my contacts for helping him, you know, get in compliance better. And it was up to the owner to take that. I'm going to take that advice.
So you could be good friends, but we won't see you again on that issue.
Oh, no. I've already fixed that.
I'm okay with following the recommendation.
I would be okay with the letter, personally, but that's me. I don't know if anybody would support that.
Best way to find out is a motion and a second,
right,
and see where the vote falls.
I'll throw it out there then. I move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 21-162 against Cindy Baker, but issue a letter of concern, and the board's concern would be taking responsibility as the manager.
And manager failed to provide sufficient oversight.
And there you go. What he said, the manager failed to supply sufficient oversight.
Of the care home.
Of the care home. Thanks, Ken. That's my motion.
Is Ken the second then?
Ken, are you?
Ken second.
Okay, we'll do a roll call.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Nay.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Nay. Motion carries.
Motion carries 4-2.
Thank you.
The board is issuing a letter of concern, which is a non-disciplinary warning letter. You'll receive that within the next week or so. Thank you for coming down today.
All right, we're going to go back to case number 21-069. Am I sorry? Was it Vivian Ruiz?
Vice President, as we get arranged here, we have Monique Cody, who is the Assistant Attorney General representing the board.
Hello, welcome.
During the hearing, we have Shams Monahan, Assistant Attorney General, and Sarah Stark, who is representing representing the respondent.
Yes, and Madam Chair, I'm sorry, Madam Vice President, before we begin, there is a preliminary matter. You have a motion to continue, do this in your file. The state does not oppose that. We're currently negotiating. I'll let Ms. Stark state her side. However, we're currently negotiating, and so the state would respectfully also request that you just grant the motion to continue.
To continue?
Yeah.
And so do we want to hear why? Is that what we're going to hear?
Yes.
So you're representing?
Yes, ma'am.
You're a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Okay. And did we give her name for the record?
This is Sarah Stark, and I'm counsel for Ms. Ruiz.
Okay.
S-T-A-R-K?
S-T-A-R-K.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this motion came in Friday. I didn't get a chance to put it in with your electronic materials, so this motion in the email is what I handed out to you.
Well, I think the board will have to determine the extent of the continuation.
Okay, I guess my question is why the continuation?
Because we're currently negotiating
the consent
agreement. Yes.
Okay.
In lieu of a formal
hearing.
And I would also add that my client is on in training with the military, so we've been unable to get as timely of responses from her about reviewing the proposed drafts as we typically would, because she doesn't have as ready access to email and phone as she normally does.
So she's not present?
No, she's in Texas. Okay. With the Army in training.
So can we assume that her manager's certificate is not hanging anywhere?
Yes, we can assume that.
Okay, thank you.
So how long have we been dealing with this case?
I'm not sure. It came across my desk last month. So I only had it for a month.
So
Madam
Chair, do we have a
I'm okay with the month. Can you give them the time? Reasonable amount of time to have a negotiation for a consent agreement.
I'll second Ken's motion.
This is your independent advisor, Moni Cody. Instead of staying for a reasonable time, could you fight like 1 month, 2 months, so there's some certainty? And then, obviously, if the motion is for 1 month or 2 months and the respondent is still in training, then Ms. Stark can come in and appear before us again. But it would be best to have a time frame.
What's the recommendation of our attorney general? How much time do you need? Will it be 1 month satisfactory, or do you need two?
And we don't need it.
I asked for 30, but we could do 60 if that's acceptable.
Can you do that again?
Since she currently doesn't have her license hanging, 60 days is not a big deal for the state.
Okay, so I'll make my motion correct to be a monthly continue for 60 days.
Second.
President Kinner?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, case number eight, we have case number 21-163 with Arturo Murillo. Did I say it right, Ron?
Yeah, and you, Murillo. Murillo, you can say it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Page 276.
Yes, ma'am. I was thinking the same. Okay, thank you, Madam.
Okay, this is case number 21163. The licensee is Arturo Murillo. Mr. Murillo is present. 31st, 2021, an on-site investigation complaint AZ001176043 was conducted at Casita Consentida LLC located at 4725 West Calle Don Miguel, Tucson, Arizona. Two of three allegations were substantiated. One of three allegations was unable to be substantiated, and the following deficiencies were cited. The manager failed to ensure his partisan policies and procedures to require a required plan was documented to ensure that the manager or a caregiver was able to provide assisted living services to a resident if the manager or caregiver was not available or not able to provide required assisted living services. And number two, the manager failed to ensure that at least the manager or a caregiver was present at the assisted living home when a resident was present at the assisted living home. On approximately November 15, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee owner for the following substantiated violation. The manager failed to ensure that at least the manager or caregiver was present at an assisted living home. Mr. Murillo is here to move this case. That concludes my summary.
So this is a house. Home.
Yeah, there's a home. License for 5 minutes.
Thank you. And if I recall, this was it you who had to leave or went to run errands and then?
The owner had to go and do some paperwork and he left his wife.
Left his wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
His license in another state. He doesn't have the qualification to work for the Arizona state. He pushed to get the lady certificate. But the thing, she was having some health issues. So she was taking some medication, and the house, they just had two residents at the time. So the residents, they were sleeping, so Mr. Cantua told the wife that he will take like 30, 45 minutes to go and do some random papers. So, but they, I believe the biggest issue with this couple, that way they have some struggles in the relationship. So the lady get mad, I don't know what happened, so the lady feels so insecure taking care of those two ladies, because one of the ladies get up. They were sleeping with Mr. Cantua. So then one of the ladies wake up and start just looking for Mrs. Cantua, because he's really attached to the ladies. But the wife, he didn't know what to do, so the lady was the one person who called 911 to ask for assistance.
The owner's wife?
The owner's wife.
The owner's wife called 911
because she was
feel
secure to take care of the situation.
And why did he leave her in charge and leave her there?
You know what? Because...
You can't do that.
I know. And I've been telling Mr. Cantua to hire some reliable caregivers. I send some friends to help them out? But I mean, it is the kind of person that they don't want to overspend money.
Because your license still hanging?
Yes. I mean, struggling with that, I might remove my license because I want to terminate that. Because I mean, that cannot happen though. I mean, I've been managing for many years. I got the license in 2008, I believe. That's my first meeting with you guys.
It only takes one.
I know.
So you've withdrawn from this facility.
The what?
You've taken your license down at this facility.
You know what? We have a serious plan. He said that he's going to get the lady trained by the Caregiver Institute in Tucson. If he doesn't get that done, I'm going to remove my license.
So that's a no. You're still hanging your license there.
Yeah, we just got a verbal agreement.
Thanks.
So my question then is, do you hang a license or certificate somewhere else?
I managed to facilitate them.
And do you work more time at the other
one? I go with Mr. Cantua every week, and I spend 2 to 3 hours there, talking, helping with paperwork, getting the files together, go through the orders.
Is there a reason that the wife didn't call you to come step in if she felt insecure?
Do you know, it is...
Or that he didn't notify you to tell you, to ask you to come over?
Mr. Cantua called me after the trial.
Well, yeah.
So he's supposed to call me when he was having the plan to do the thing. But the wife, she just feel insecure about that. But I believe that she just don't want Mr. Ventura to go out for the house. That's my thoughts.
How often does this happen?
Wow.
I mean, it is the first time, though.
This is the one and only thing? You don't know?
This is the time that got caught.
No. This couple, I mean, they've been married for whatever, and they were moved from San Diego. They're people from San Diego. But they started the business, I don't know when they started it. I just started working for Mr. Cantua in 2019. And they look so friendly, both of them. But I mean,
I'm still curious why she wouldn't have called you to come step in if she felt that she could not manage what was going on.
Yeah, that's what
I mean, the owner shouldn't have done that in the first place and left her there, but why didn't they call you? Would you have been able to get there?
That's what I felt.
Would you have been able to step in and help?
I would be able if he gave me an advance. I will be helped. And he knows that.
What plan do you have in place if there is an emergency situation like this, and what if he can't be there, and what if you can't get there? But somebody has to be there to cover. What's your plan?
My plan is to. I'm already told Mr. Cantua to hire another caregiver as a backup. If the caregiver can't back up, I can go and help out. And we got that agreement and the policies to see in that home.
So let me see if I understand. You say you have a plan, but your license is still on the wall, and the owner has some responsibility to get it resolved, but he doesn't appear to be resolving it.
I told him.
And so if he doesn't resolve it, then the resident has issues in the future, then you're going to take your license down. That's how we're going to find out.
No.
Tell me how it's going to work again.
Okay. What I said that I don't want to accept another situation like this. They have to work it out as a couple. The lady has to get the certificate, so get trained, and then get another caregiver to get a backup for Mr. Cantua, Rick Oliver, and me. Other than that, I mean, he have to call me all the time. He's one of the doing some errands. So that way I can just manage to do some backup.
So the question is, though, you've heard already a couple of times today that there's something that comes up that's urgent. And people make drastic decisions in an urgent situation, which this person did. And you as the manager are supposed to review those policy and procedures and have something in place that and make sure that everybody in the house understands.
Yeah.
And so what do you have in place other than he's going to get somebody certified, he's going to hire somebody new, he's going to call you if he can and if you can get there. What if none of those things can happen?
Okay.
What happens?
He needs to hire someone.
Okay, aside from that, he does need to hire somebody. In an emergency situation, he can't do an interview, he doesn't have time to check everything. What is the protocol for that building in an emergency situation?
For an emergency situation, he have to call me, and I have to go wherever I am. And in case of emergency.
And you manage another place, though.
But
can you leave that other place?
Yeah, but I can get on and off, so I can just go and help out.
How far away is the facility
They're not far away, though.
Well, how far?
I would say,
less than
15, 20 miles.
I see in the material they gave me, also, you're managing a second facility, Caring for Generations?
Yes, totally.
And, is that the facility you have a complaint pending on?
Yeah, I'm going to be coming back.
Tell me about that a little bit. What can I expect to hear when I see that?
I have to go and get all the forms that they submit there. So they're going to be taking care of more of the visitors. You're talking about Care for Generations?
Well, I just read that you have a second complaint pending for a different facility, and I would hope it isn't for the same issue.
No, it won't be the same issue.
But what issue is it for?
It'll be a separate matter.
Yeah.
So the decision at hand will be how to handle mm-hmm. this matter.
So we may see him again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have another job as well as managing these two?
Yes. Yes, I'm working on all the documentation for that.
For what?
I'm putting all the documents together for that thing.
So the question is, do you have a third job? You have two manager's certificates, which are two jobs.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a third job?
Yes, I've got the third job.
And what is that?
As a caregiver.
As a caregiver. In yeah. one of these locations?
No.
In another building?
In a different one.
Okay.
Do you think you're spread a little too thin to manage two facilities and be a caregiver?
Yeah, you know what?
I have to ask you this pretty point, but why haven't you changed it?
You know,
before now?
Being honest with you,
that's the money.
I used to have my facility. I get divorced, she threw me in bankruptcy, I just tried to find my way out. So I do best understand that.
Thank you.
I think we should go with the recommendation.
I'll
make a motion. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446.10, AACR 4-33-407AB1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 21-163 involving manager Arturo Murillo, and the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the bond conditions, suspension of the certificate that stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative cost in the amount of $732, 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and document completion in each of the following areas, personnel requirements, I'm adding ethics, any of the costs of the probation or those of the licensee and certificate holder.
Member Campbell seconds. Roll call, please.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
So the board has voted to issue a consent agreement, which is a disciplinary action. Staff will send you that paperwork within the next 10 days. If you have questions, please let me know. Thanks.
This board, we're going to take a break for
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Five. Jack said five. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Thank you.
We'll call it again. Make sure everybody's here. Or come just back into
make
session.
Make sure they're on the call.
Do we have Ken and Fred?
Yeah, you did.
Remember Randall and Kidder?
We still have our board members on the telephone.
Member Kidder.
Thank you.
Randolph here.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, board is back in session.
At 10:29.
10:29. And we're going to move on to case 21-140. Amandor Ortega.
Page 315, thank you.
And can you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, thank you for having me. My name is Amador Ortega.
And I'm attorney Cynthia Patain.
Thank you. Can I clarify when this is written up as a manager? Are we handling him as a manager or an administrator?
Manager is my...
Okay. Are you an administrator?
I am also, yes.
But this is as a manager?
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay.
This is case 21140. The licensee is Mr. Ortega Amador. On August 6, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Desert Miracle Senior Living of Tempe, located at 601 East Westchester Drive in Tempe, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 5 deficiencies in 2 different areas. Mr. Ortega was noticed that he did respond with a written response. On approximately October 5th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $2,250 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violations. The manager failed to ensure caregiver provided documentation of completion of a caregiver training program approved by the department or the Board of Examiners for Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers for 4 of 10 caregivers reviewed. Number 2, the manager failed to ensure caregiver skills and knowledge were verified and documented before the caregivers provided physical health services on behalf of the facility for 2 of 10 sampled employees. Mr. Ortega is here to respond to the complaint, and that concludes my summary.
Thank you. So, is this the old Westchester campus?
Indeed.
Yeah, right there. And so you're overseeing the assisted living part of that?
I oversee the assisted living and the care center as well.
So you have both licenses up? Okay. And so we've acquired in my company many buildings. And so when the surveyors come in, yes, you have a hard time getting the paperwork, but it is part of the deal when a building is sold. So what was the problem that you couldn't get the paperwork?
As far as the caregiver license and checklist, they did provide us, I would say, 90% of the documentation. They did leave behind probably 40 boxes of just information that we've kind of looked through, and some items of use were there and some items of use weren't. And so I'm just trying to gather that information, but ultimately, I've been the administrator there since September of 2020, and I'm nobody to pass the buck on things. I'm the owner, I'm the operator of that facility as being the AL manager, and so whether they provided us the documentation or not, we should have ensured that they had it and it was accurate. So.
Yeah, because it was a year from the sale of the building until the survey. Plenty of time.
Yes.
And did you say you are the owner?
So as the license manager, I feel like the owner.
Right? You own the property.
Is it owned by Enzyme?
Yes.
License for how many beds?
It is licensed for 72 assisted living beds.
And were you present at the time of the survey?
I was, yes.
Did you write the plan of correction?
I did, yes.
So the caregivers that were missing their verifiable certifications had been working there. You acquired them, or the new company acquired them. They were already working.
So one of them was the other was actually a new hire from our care center. She was a certified nursing assistant who had been a CNA for many, many years. And so she, staffing and every other reason. So we needed a ninth caregiver to help us on one of our units. And so she began training on our assisted living side under the wing of another caregiver. Well, during a 10-day time span, that other caregiver, some emergency, she came ill, or it was a family emergency, I can't recall. But during that 10-day time span, that CNA didn't have somebody overseeing them directly. And so so on the skilled nursing side, we can do what's called like a TNA program right now, temporary nursing assistant, that allows us to write off a skills checklist, and they can go in and take care of residents on their own without direct supervision of another CNA. And so in our assisted living side, that wasn't the case. And so we learned the hard way through that. And so, we did have another caregiver on our property. So my campus is spread into 2 units, Garden Court in Tivoli, and so Garden Court had a certified caregiver there taking care of the residents. Tivoli had this caregiver who was unlicensed. And so technically they weren't directly overseeing them, but we had somebody on the staff. And I think
some regulations say you all get.
I have to have somebody with them at all times if they're not licensed.
With them, how?
So they supervise their care, and so they weren't supervising their care.
So technically the CNA was working as an assistant caregiver. Can CNAs work in assisted living?
I looked at the rules and I couldn't find anything that allowed me to say yes to that.
There's ways to do that.
Yeah, they
have to take a bridge program.
They have to take a bridge program. Which on
campus is usually like that, where you have the skilled and the something that normally would happen. So,
does your campus have that program?
We do. We actually go through the programs of the street there in Tempe. And so this caregiver specifically was actually going to school, and she's since become a certified caregiver.
So she was in the process of?
Still.
Was it your assumption then that because a CNA can work as a bona fide assistant setting without direct supervision, that a assistant caregiver could do the same prior to certification?
I would say yes. For me, I just see my CNAs who take care of a more acute resident who just discharged from a hospital setting generally. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, that's not the case, right? That's not the regulation, and so.
You have to know the difference when you're licensed both ways, which three of our board members are licensed both ways, me being one. So between the regulations of skilled and how big is the total CCRC?
So it is a 90-bed independent living, a 72-bed assisted living, and a 56-bed skilled nursing facility.
And when did you get your license in SNF and were they back to back? I think you said in here you got them pretty close together.
Yeah, so my SNF license became official, I want to say, December of 2020. And so I began working as a skilled nursing administrator in August of 2020. And then I passed my exam for my assisted living manager's license that August of 2020, and so it didn't become official until September 2020.
That's right, you trained under Brett.
Brett King.
And you've been around 40 years, so that's what happens.
That issue's been resolved, right? The person now is certified.
Yes.
What was the other? Was that the only?
That was the second one. Madam Vice President?
Yep.
You might have to ask a quick question.
Go for it. First answer mine. What was the second enforcement?
The manager failed to ensure caregiver skills and knowledge were verified and documented.
Okay. Same person.
How do you do that now?
So at the time, new acquisition is really hard and one of my excuses, but ultimately, what we do now is we make our HR representative at the time, we have gone through three of them from that period to that first survey. We now have a stable HR representative who I delegate tasks to, but since then, it's been super helpful. I actually, myself, once a quarter, sit down and I go through all the certifications with all of my staff to make sure that they have everything identified or what's coming up. And so she also sends me an email once a week and leaders for our facility to ensure that we have the itemized list of things that for anybody licensed, a CPR card, any of that, that's coming up in the next 30 days.
Director, do you have a question?
Just quickly, I was looking at the enforcement action from DHS. Have you or this particular facility had prior inspections or prior deficiencies that were identified since you were there in 2020?
I'm not sure of that answer, but I can get back to you on it.
I was trying to figure out how they reached the civil civil penalty amount for the facility. And they have a matrix where they determine that the buyers are involved with it. I was just curious as to how they got to that amount. Madam Vice Chair, members of the board, I was asking about the DHS civil penalty amount, the $2,250. I was curious as how they reached that amount, if there was any prior inspections or deficiencies that were identified since this particular manager was there in 2020. That was my question.
What page is it on?
I'm on page 316.
It might be 500 per.
There were four. There were four employees without the verification of caregiver certification, and two.
Because they usually charge for each person.
Right. That's how it's stacked up. Because they did it for each person.
I know they have a matrix that they use, and I just wanted to. I was just curious if it was for priors or it was just per deficiency. Without that guidance documentation, I didn't want to assume.
Well, you took over, the community was sold in August of 2020, correct?
Yes.
You walked in, you're the new administrator, manager, all of both. So since you've been there, is this the only inspection you've had?
Yes, that was my first survey.
They didn't do a change of child because they probably don't do them anymore.
They did at the time, no.
So,
thank you.
It would go on the old one, so it starts again on the clock. Not that I know. I would go with the recommendations.
You could.
What? I can, is that what you're saying? I would make a motion for the recommendations. Unless Ken or Fred, you have anything?
The impression I get from his statements is that sounds like he's got a pretty good plan in place now in the future. I would be more inclined to offer up or do a letter of concern.
I agree.
All right, then you can make the motion.
All right, I move that the Board of Finance insufficient evidence of a violation and complaint number 21-140 against Vandenberg Ortega. The letter of board's concern is the manager failed to ensure compliance with personnel requirements.
I second.
Roll call, please.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
We have a base number for 349.
Thank you. All right, next up we have case number 21-151, Elisis Lorente. That's you.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Can you say your name?
Can
you state your name, please?
My name is Ulysses, Assistant Living Facility Manager.
Say your last name, please.
Lorente.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
This is case 21-151. The licensee is Ulysses Lorente. On June 25th, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Tender Loving Care Home of Surprise, located at 14239 West Charter Oak Road in Surprise, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified four deficiencies in two different areas. Mr. Lorente was notified of the complaint. He did respond in writing one second, please. On approximately October 25th, 2021, Mr. the location was, sorry, there's no civil money on this one. I'm sorry. During this time, DHS issued a notice of intent to revoke the health care institution licensee. A settlement agreement was executed on October 25th, 2021 between DHS and Tender Loving Care Home of Surprise, Arizona. Mr. Lorente is here to respond to his complaint. That's my conclusion.
Thank you.
Mr. Lorente, this is a care home?
Yes, ma'am.
How many beds?
Eight license rate.
And how many did you have at the time of survey?
I think it was eight. Two.
You were full, okay. Service plans. So what, reading the list here. What happened, what are you doing with your service plans? What happened with that, that they were not?
The service plan.
This goes back to the survey that was done. So this didn't, Mr. Brandon, this didn't go officially to in the, like an enforcement action for the penalties? It went?
Right, there were no civil penalties issued.
No.
But according to DHS, when it goes into a notice of intent to revoke, that's more egregious than a civil penalty.
And so do we have, and then based on the citations, do we have more information about why they were looking to revoke? But that is a big step.
Is on page 383 at the top. Repeated violations of statute, pattern of violation type, and severity and number.
Okay.
But that was of the Office of Administrative Hearings vacated, order vacating hearing. I have also attached that. With Interim Director Don Harrington and Sophia Horn of the Office of Attorney General. So it is further ordered that the hearing in this matter is vacated from the calendar of the Office of Administrative mm-hmm. Hearings.
Are you maintaining that no deficiencies happened?
All corrected, and the Department of Health wrote me.
Let me stop you there. Let me try again.
Yes, sir.
So they discovered deficiencies when they went out to your first facility, yes or
correct.
No? Yes or no? Yes.
Yes, yes. Sir.
Okay. And what did you do to correct those facilities? Did you?
An area there is medication. So we have corrected the MAR, what's written on it. Specifically the acetaminophen. So, and then the food spray, I forgot the name of the medication that's here. So, we have requested the hospice to send us orders within 14 days. That's what the problem was. They will give verbal order, so we'll take it. But we need doctor's orders, so
and what
we
do you
were
do,
deemed
what,
for that.
What do you do when you're given a verbal order?
Initially, we will write down, but since the rule states that we need doctor's order, we will have to follow up with them. And when we were on the second week, Gage has came, and we still didn't have the doctor's order, and we got Dean. We got cited, I mean.
And how many times have you had a medication violation over, how long have you been manager here?
Oh, 2015.
2015, at this site. Is this your house?
No, I'm just an employee.
You're an employee?
Yes, but involved.
So, and how long have you been a manager prior to 2015?
2005, I think. So, yeah.
And so the position from Department of Health Services, which I understand is resolved now, and they are not revoking the license for that facility, which would be your owner, right? But there was a lot of steps leading up to that, not just this one survey. So why were they looking to revoke that?
Because initially I disputed the citation, and one of the documents I submitted was in error, because I just saw that document and I thought to myself, why are they citing me with this, but we have this? So I submitted it, and it so happened that the changes were made after the survey. So me, without even conferring with my caregiver, I act, it was an honest mistake. I act independently and what they call that, dispute. Through the informal dispute resolution.
And did they grant you your dispute?
No, that's what led to the administrative hearing.
Well, there's more than one event that led to an administrative hearing like this to revoke a license. How many years of surveys?
No, it was just that one document that I submitted, and I have that.
They thought it was false or misleading, wasn't there some kind of language?
Yes, yes.
That's why the revocation was.
Got it.
Yes, and
then
I
switched it later when they found out it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
Okay.
So,
but they didn't remove the citation, but they took away the revoking part.
Yes, ma'am. And after the order, the department also received and reviewed the plan and deemed it completed on June 25, 2021. So I'm really on top of things.
And they haven't been back since.
Pardon me?
They have not been back, the Department of Health?
No. So, yeah. It's,
who wrote your plan of correction and the IDR?
I always do. I always help some of our managers to do their plan of correction. I mean, help them.
So we're not hearing this because of an enforcement action. We're hearing this because it was taken to a revocation process, which then he corrected in their records, and they removed the revocation.
Yes.
Right?
Well, we're reviewing the original deficiencies.
Right.
That were identified when he was the manager of record. Even though DHS doesn't have a final resolution against the owner for those, he's still responsible for the deficiencies that were identified.
Correct. So there seem to be a couple of medication problems. How can you identify those, and what are you doing differently to make sure you don't have medication errors?
The thing with the hospice, we need to work with better in requesting for doctor's orders.
And if they're not going to perform, if they're not going to give you the orders, what should you do?
Well, I would discuss it with their administrator or their board, director of nursing, because the nurse is not performing or not doing the job of requesting the doctor to sign it, or probably request the their medical director, because usually the
when you take a verbal order, who writes it up? Who's writing it?
The nurse, because at that time, I was there when the nurse admitted the patient. So she was doing the admission and then ordering this and that. So I was like, okay, we will do that, and we will order, or of course they're doing the ordering for us for the medication. So I told them, okay, but we still need doctor's orders. And that's the reason why I was like adamant to dispute this, because I thought in my mind that they should have given us those doctor's orders, and it should have been recorded in the MAR. So
what would you do differently if this happens again? Because this is not the first time, in my experience, that this has happened. It happens to us all the time.
Yeah.
What can you do? What would you do differently?
Well,
if you have a verbal order and you have no signatures, first of all, how many days do you have to get that signature?
14 days.
So if you don't have it within signature. The 14 days, what are you going to do?
Yeah, as I said, we will have to work better with the hospice or with the care provider for that, because sometimes faxing won't work. Faxing the doctors are all they need, because we have this doctor's order form.
Mm-hmm.
All they need is to review that and then sign off on it.
And what
we
do
the
do?
Job for
Let me
them.
Ask the question again.
Oh, sorry.
If they don't do that within the 14 days, what are you going to do?
I guess ask for another care provider on. But I don't think I can do that, though. I'm a, that's why I'm saying we need to work better with the communicating with the service providers, the care providers. And one of them would be having the caregivers call them, even if it's daily or, you know, every hour.
Okay, and how would we be able to know if you did that?
Well, we could document it in the progress notes.
Okay, and had you done that for this particular
No, because in the afternoon of the survey, the fax came in for the doctor, but it was...
And what day was that, though?
25th.
The date. How many days after the verbal order, how many days was that when that...
Technically, 15 days.
Technically, that's out of date.
Yeah, because, you know, we didn't see the facts till the morning, but they said they faxed it already. Because we were saying, Department of Health is here. Where's the doctor's order? So, apparently they faxed it, but it was not... You know, accepted. We were already deemed for that.
Right, because it was already past 14 days.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And did you have documentation showing that your caregivers or whomever have tried?
Yeah,
to
the
get it before 14 days.
The faxes.
You sent faxes to the doctor's office?
Yeah, the faxes would be a good documentation, because the calls, we won't have a record for it. But faxes.
Well, if you write it down, it's a record. So,
You had
shown the surveyor that you have a list of all the different times you sent in a fax that you never got.
Yeah. So.
The surveyor saw.
We were awaiting that citation, because we don't, we're actually going for zero, but some other things pop up always, all the time. So
it sounds to me like, listening to this conversation, that Susan Archer is holding out of you.
I'm trying to help.
Syllable by syllable, what you're going to do. So now, I guess I want to hear, what have you done and put in place so this does not occur again? What is done today? Now, what will you do? What have you done?
Well, we have the MAR reviewed. And then every time there's a change, there's a verbal or changes in the medication, we review it, we check the doctor's order to ensure that before putting it in the MAR, we have the doctor's order. And then on the bottle, we check if it's the same as what the doctor's orders said. So it will be an increment of once a week, at least checking all those. But for the changes, of course, it doesn't happen often, so we just have to be on top of the changes every time it occurs.
What have you put in place to be on top of that?
The reviewing of the changes, meaning I would check if the doctor's order is on hand before even putting it in the MAR. So when they tell me the nurse came and changed the aspirin to a higher dose, what do I do? Okay, so I'll check that. And then get the doctor's order. If it's not on hand, then I won't give it yet.
How do you track the 14 days?
We note that on the document that we have.
How often do you do that? Over 14 days. If you don't get it on day one out of 14, anything, or do you wait until day 14?
No, no.
Say, oh, well, I better check.
No, no, we don't wait for 14 days. We actually check on the second day or after the verbal order. We call the doctor's office.
Do you have a written policy and procedure outlining what you just explained to me?
No, but it would be probably better to add it on the policy, but for now it was on the plan of correction.
Well, that's really nice, but are you gonna do a policy and procedure so everyone is aware of exactly what your expectations are?
Yeah, that would be...
That'd be good, but good. You haven't done it.
No, no, because the policy and procedure does not define the checking of changes yet.
It can.
Yes, probably a week.
Sure.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Sure.
That would be.
Can that? We're skirting around.
Mm-hmm.
You have you. I can tell you know the rule, and I'm glad that you know the rule. I pull it out and slowly, slower than most of my board members would probably care to hear and listen to you. I understand that you know the rule. I wish we had a continuing education for some backbone or some fortitude that says that we as a manager have the right to demand that everybody else complies with the rules that we're held to. So if you don't have an order signed by the practitioner on day 14 of a verbal, what should you do? What will you do if you don't have that order?
Because there was a rule that we can't seem to dispute or, what do you call that, disagree with the medical professionals, I think there was.
There's not.
Oh, there's not.
There's not. And so that's what I'm saying. I think a better understanding of what, I think you know the rules. I don't know, I think you could better learn how to understand how to protect yourself within the rules, because.
And ethics might provide you.
And ethics, yeah, ethics could do that. So is that one of the recommendations?
No, you can make it.
I could make it. I have to look at the rest of the.
Because the continuing education on medication administration doesn't say that. That you can just argue.
That you can argue?
Yeah.
And I empathize, because as a manager of a home, we get pushed down with the thumb all the time.
Because they're medical professionals.
Because they're medical professionals. But guess what?
Caregivers.
We too are professional. We're not just caregivers.
Yeah.
You're a manager.
Yeah, I mean.
You hold a certification with the state of Arizona that gives you the authority.
Okay. the manager.
It gives you the authority to protect your residents. That is our job. And the way you protect your residents is by ensuring that all of these things take place that are supposed to take place. Not just that you know the rule, that's great. You have to ensure that the rule gets followed by you and demand that it gets followed
by
the others.
Care providers.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
The Madam Vice President, I'm sorry for interrupting. The staff recommendation is on page 355.
Oh, I already passed it. Rich, did you have a question?
I guess in the consent agreement terms that I see that have been proposed, I would like to add one more CDU in the area of ethics.
Perfect. Would you like to make a motion?
Well, your book, I would have to know how to do that. I'm not real good at that.
So. I'll make a motion. You can't say you're new forever, though.
So. I know. Well,
I'm still in the
board, so, you know, I got time.
I know how old you are, so. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446.10, AACR 433407A, and B1. For unprofessional conduct and complaint number 21-151 involving manager Ulysses
Lorente.
The board will offer a consent agreement to be sent within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to the formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of certificate to stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $559, 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required, document completion in each of the following areas, medication management, I want to say record keeping, service plans, ethics, any cost to the probationer of the licensee or certificate holder.
And what was this again? Medication management.
Record keeping, service plan, ethics.
Thank you.
So total of 12 hours.
Total 12 hours.
Got it. Thank you.
Is there a second?
Question?
Not right now.
Okay.
I have it in front of
you. No, you just read.
Did you second?
He did.
Stephen?
I second.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Carried.
Motion carries.
Motion carries.
Thank you for coming down. We'll send you some paperwork.
Thank you.
Okay, next up we have case number 21155, Melissa Dominguez.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Starting on
page
408.
408.
You jumped ahead.
Well, because I started writing down the numbers.
This is case number 21155. The licensee is Melissa Dominguez. On October 4th, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Adobe Country Gables, located at 14962 North 78th Avenue in Peoria, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified three deficiencies in three different areas. Ms. Dominguez was noticed of the complaint and she did send her written response. On approximately October 25th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violation. The manager failed to ensure before or at the time of acceptance the individual submitted documentation dated within 90 calendar days before the individual was accepted by the facility to include whether the individual required continuous medical services, continuous or intermittent nursing services or restraints, dated and signed by a physician, registered nurse practitioner, registered nurse, or physician assistant for a 202 resident sample. Ms. Dominguez is here today to respond to this complaint. That concludes my summary.
Thank you. So was the enforcement order was for the continued residency or the acceptance part of taking somebody in the home who was theoretically bed or chair bound?
No, they weren't bed bound.
They weren't bed bound?
No.
How long have you been the manager of this facility?
I think about 3 to 4 years.
3 to 4 years.
Yes.
I see that on items 1 and 2, there are repeat deficiencies in 2019 and 2020.
Yes.
Were you the manager during those times?
Yes, I was.
And when you file a plan of correction, what does the language say that you sure is done?
That I would make sure that the proper documentation is signed before accepting a resident.
So what quality indicators and plans did you put in place that first time to assure DHS that it would not occur again, even though it did?
It's just that sometimes it's hard to get signatures from the doctors or physicians before the resident is moved in, because at times they have to be released from where they're at and they want to come to our facility. And at that time, sometimes doctors or physicians don't sign the paperwork on time.
So what should happen?
Same situation. From now on, I should accept a resident at all if that paper form is not signed.
And do you have that in your policy and procedures?
Yes. Even if they say my dad has to go there and out of nowhere, I don't have to tell him that paper needs to be signed regardless of them moving in, or else I can't accept them. Even if I have to stay an extra day at the rehab facility or at the hospital, I can't admit them at my home without that paper being signed, because then it'll fall on me now.
I guess this would get signed pretty quickly at that point.
Yeah.
So you hadn't been putting that enforced, you hadn't enforced that before. So you ran into a situation where somebody was accepted without that.
Yes.
And what of those conditions made it be required that they had that 90-day review prior to admittance? Because it's very specific to what that person is. If they're not better chair bound, I don't know why. Do they have pressure sores? Past stage 2?
No, I didn't have any residents that needed, services like this. It just wasn't, their forms just wasn't signed prior to them moving in.
Okay. Right. All right. And now you won't take somebody.
tell them. And I would tell them, whether it requires them staying an extra day at the rehab or at the hospital, won't admit them without that form being signed.
The other one that was a repeat deficiency was that a service plan wasn't signed by you, the manager.
Yes.
The easiest signature to get.
Well, it's because either the other owner and owner/caregiver, he would either sign the service plan, and when that would come in, I would review and I would sign it too. But I'm aware that I have to sign it at all times, not the owner/caregiver.
Is that owner/caregiver a designee?
Yes.
And they signed it?
Yes.
Huh. Does your policy and procedures say who is authorized to sign documents in the facility?
I would be the manager.
Does the designee sign off on the MAR?
The designee, yes.
I guess I'm curious why the citation was given for a designee signing a document. Unless your policy and procedure says it can't be you. I mean, that it has to be you as the manager. Designee is a designee for a purpose. So do you happen to know, can your designee, who is probably the owner,
mm-hmm,
sign residency agreements?
I believe he can, but I'm sure it's just the manager's responsibility to do the service plans.
Mm-hmm. Have you, no residency agreements, what I asked.
Oh, the residency agreements? I signed it, the manager.
Have you reviewed the policy and procedures, or can I assume you didn't write them?
The policy procedure?
For that particular building or house?
No, I did not write the policy procedure for the house.
Did you read and review them?
Yes.
And sign them?
Yes.
And how often are you supposed to do that?
Maybe 6 months.
That's okay, that's a trick question, sort of. So does your policy and procedure have anybody else authorized to sign?
No.
Okay. Then that's a valid citation. If it says the manager has to sign it, then the manager has to sign it. How often are you at this building?
All the time. How often? I work maybe 4 times a week.
You go to that house?
Yes.
4 times a week?
Mm-hmm.
And on average, how long would you stay there?
24 hours at times.
Are you a caregiver for the site as well?
Yes.
So you would do some overnights?
Mm-hmm.
Great time to get caught up with paperwork. Anybody else have questions?
Were you there during the inspection?
Yes.
Just that it's a repeat, so it wasn't fixed the first time. Because usually you know they're going to go right for the
repeated deficiencies, yes.
Yeah.
And so what was your plan of correction last time?
Not to accept a resident until the proper documentation is signed.
And then you found yourself in a position and did it anyway?
Yes.
Was that your decision or the owner's?
A little bit of both.
Okay. Does your owner understand and
yes.
agree?
Yes.
Because you've heard a couple of times already that there's conflict between owners and managers.
Yes.
Not giving the managers enough
no.
authority.
Yes.
Do you have that authority?
Yes, I do.
So in the 4 times a week that you're there, how is it that service plans were assigned by you? Well, I guess if that was that a repeat one, what do you do if the plan is the service plan is done, even if the designee has signed it?
I would have to have the caregivers or the let me know if a service plan or if the service plan lady came to do the service plan.
And what kind of system would you have in place that would help that?
Reviewing it weekly and actually having the caregivers let me know if a surveyor is coming or notify me so I can be there present at the time of the survey. I mean, at the time of the service plan.
Is an outside nurse coming in to sign?
Yes.
To do service plans?
Yes.
And so, since the survey, have you done that differently?
The service plan
for preparation?
Yes, actually she has come, but I get notified as soon as she's there and I will go because I live like 5 minutes or less from my group home. So every time the service plan comes, I will be present.
Do you think another a second duplicate certificate?
Oh, no, just one.
No more questions? Nobody?
Recommendations are on page 414.
Yeah. I think a little education wouldn't hurt. I think getting a sense overall, and we've seen it lots of times where I just think managers, particularly at the home level, because it's not this big institutionalized setting, have the notion that we don't have authority. And some extra, that's why I wish we had a class in fortitude, ethics, I guess ethics can help cover that. So if we do some ethics classes, ask whoever instructs what you're allowed to do as a manager. What authority you have, because everybody's getting caught out with other people in the industry who are not complying. You know the rules. You know the rules.
Yes.
And people are, somehow we have to figure out how to make it happen. So I would be okay with the recommendations. Residency agreements, yeah, but maybe out of ethics.
Are you going to make a motion?
Well, I was
going
to let somebody else do it, but
I'm going to keep things moving.
To keep things moving? I know I'm going too slow. Sorry.
I'll be able to just go to 1
o'clock. 5 o'clock.
Do we have a time limit?
Yeah.
No.
Today? We do?
Yes, we do. It's only half.
Okay. Based upon the information.
Please make the motion.
Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, AACR 4-33-407A, and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 21-155 with involving manager Melissa Dominguez, and offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days when the matter will be forwarded to a formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate will say the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative cost of $555. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and document completion in each of the following areas: service plans, ethics, and residency agreements.
Would you be willing to add to that motion record keeping and ethics?
I did add ethics.
I'd like to see record keeping put in there as well.
Okay. Let me amend. 3 hours continuing education in the following areas: record keeping, service plans, ethics, and residency agreements. All costs of the probation are those of the license holder or the certificate holder.
I second that motion.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Motion carries.
I'll send you some paperwork. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Moving on, we're at number 12, case number 21-174, regarding Carmen.
Page 449.
Thank you. Uge?
Ugay, ma'am.
Ugay. Thank you.
This is case 21-174. The licensee is Carmen Ugay. On September 24th, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site living facility conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Mayberry Assisted Living, located at 19863 East Mayberry Road in Queen Creek, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 6 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Ms. Ugay was notice of the complaint, and she did respond. On approximately, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violation. The manager failed to ensure for one resident receiving respite services, a written service plan was completed no later than 3 working days after the resident's date of acceptance. This is what guy is here to respond to the complaint. That's my summary.
Thank you.
Did you write this plan of correction?
Yes.
This is a house?
Yes.
And how long have you been the manager there?
Yes. Yes.
How long?
I got that January 2020.
2020. So a little over a year. Do you hang a license, a certificate somewhere else?
No. At that time, I had one other facility, but that facility don't have any other client. So I just go there like 8 hours a week because there's no client yet.
They have no residents?
No residents.
But it's still an open business?
Yes, but I'm no longer managing the facility. I terminated my manager there for November 2021. So I just manage my own facility, the Mayberry Assisted Living.
And did you notify this board?
Yes.
And Department of Services?
Yes, ma'am.
The other one that you are last? Okay. Yes. So, and this is, you're the owner of this business?
Yes.
Okay, and so the respite stay, and how many days do we have to have that service plan in place for respite?
My mistake is I did not make any plan for that respite because I thought she gonna stay to me only 2 to 3 days, so that my mistake, I did not do any service plan. But after the surveyor came and explained to me that I should have all this paper. So I immediately, September 29th, we did all the paperwork that I need to prepare for that respite resident.
And so have you taken any respite since then?
No, that's the only respite that I have.
Did you say that you
severed your relationship with this home 2 months after the survey?
The problem, after 2 to 3 days that I thought I would just take care of her as a respite, she keep on extending and extending. And then I just leave on my mind that I really need to prepare now the paper for her.
No, I asked, did you stop? Never mind.
I think that was the other house. There was a second house involved with her certificates at the time of survey, but now there's only, you only have one,
yes,
and this is your business.
Yes.
But I thought she said that she had quit the other location 2 months after the inspection. Did I misunderstand her?
Yeah, I didn't know.
She's, you're correct. The testimony was that she disassociated herself with this particular facility in November of 2021. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, thank you.
Do you live in the house?
No. I'm at the facility 40 to 48 hours a week. Every day I'm there.
Are you also a caregiver?
No.
For them?
I just manage, but I can, if my caregiver has a day off, I do the caregiving.
Okay. And so this person who came in as a respite, are they still there?
Yeah, she's still there because she has a weak muscles, and the physical therapy is trying to help her to get out on the bed so she can go home, because she said that she really doesn't want to stay long in the facility because she has her own home.
And so when somebody comes in as respite, how many days do we have to get a service plan together and sign?
3 days.
Did you have a residency agreement in place?
Yes.
For respite?
Yes.
Do you have other people in the house who are, other people in the house are doing resident care? Do you have caregivers?
Yes.
That work?
I have 2 caregivers.
And so without the service plan, how would they know what to do?
Because since I'm, every day I'm there, doing it.
So you did orientation to the new client?
Yes.
With the caregivers?
Mm-hmm.
Who signs your service plans?
A nurse. There's a nurse coming to do the service plan.
And so before you took the respite person, did you call the nurse to ask her?
No, I did not, because respite is just, it's not like a plan that will come to my facility. It's like an emergency, and then she said that they just need something.
Did you get a practitioner's authorization that says that they should come to assisted living?
No, she don't tell, because she just came from their house, and she don't see the doctor. She just needs somebody with her. So she's planning to stay in my facility only 2 to 3 days.
So it would be your statement that this person does not have a medical practitioner, a primary care, anywhere? Ever?
I don't know.
So, well, then that pose the next question, what would you do differently?
Well, after that, I tried to contact, I asked her what is the primary doctor, and And that's the only time she told me everything about the primary doctor who I contact. So that's the time I start doing her paperwork and contact the doctor and ask for all the doctor's order. And I start doing this, her surgery plan and all the resident agreement.
And so what exactly do we have in order to have a resident move into our building, even if it's for one day?
I have to not to ask or interview her about what all the needs she need and the doctors, the most important is the doctor's order.
Were you giving medications to this person?
No, I can give now because I got all these papers. Before, she was the one who was doing it. Because she is...
She had her own medications that she was taking care of?
Yes, but now...
And what do...
They are taking care
of. Yeah, sir, so what happens if somebody is taking care of their own medications? What do we have to do? There's other residents in the home.
Yes.
So what has to happen if a person is taking care of their own medications? What do you do?
When she had a medication, I asked her that if we can keep their medication so we can keep it and we will do that, giving it to her. And she said it's okay.
And what do you have to have in order to do that?
Since I don't have this doctor's order, I just did it by mistake, which I supposed not to do it, but I did it. Since I thought she would not stay to my facility for a long time.
Okay, something can happen in 1 second, let alone 3 days or 5 days. So that's why the paperwork is the same.
Okay. The paperwork is the same. Mm-hmm. You don't have a guarantee. What if the family brought you a whole giant bag of prescriptions that were from 5 years ago? I've had that happen.
What's the same?
I've had it happen. So where's the recommendations? What page?
It's on page 456. I can make a motion. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, ACR 4-33-407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint 21-174 involving manager Carmen Coupey, and the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to the formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $563, 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required, and document completion in each of the following areas: medication management, record keeping, service plans, ethics, residency agreements. Any cost of the probation are those of the licensee certificate holder.
No, I didn't get that answer verbal. I do have an open motion, but I've got a question on what is the benefit of doing record keeping plus service plans? Because the issue is specifically about service plans. And then what additional benefit does additional education and ethics provide related for failure to manage or maintain proper service plans?
I can amend it. I just think ethics overall, just for the, you know, being a manager, reviewing ethics is always good. But I can amend it and do 3 hours of medication management, service plans, residency agreements.
Okay, I would second that. Thank you.
Yep.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Motion carries.
So So the board made a motion to offer you a disciplinary consent agreement for what they're alleging the violations are. Well, staff will send that to you within the next couple of days. Take a look at it. If you have any questions, let me know. Okay? Thank you for coming down today.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. We are at number 13, case number 21-150, Lydia Jarda.
Madam Vice President, there's been a mistake on the this form. Could we move her back down to number 23? She's on here twice. Can we please move her back to 28 in the last grouping?
You want to put two together?
She actually is on here. She's a duplicate on the
form. What's the recommendation?
The recommendation is dismissal.
For both? For
it's only one.
So oh, I see.
She's double, the case is doubled on the other
side. Got it.
So since she's here, if you just want to hear it from her,
yeah.
You can do that.
Can my director come here?
Well, then, do we want to hear it?
Then we,
it's up to you guys.
Are we going to take each of the staff recommendations for hearing?
Unless somebody wants to pull something out.
No, we're not going to do individual review of the recommendations for dismissal. The board member has a specific reason to pull that out.
Right.
Then what we will, what we'll do with the dismissal ones is vote on those and walk.
You're going to have to wait. We're going to get you that's a little fine. Further down in the agenda, okay?
Not enough.
If you can
not
step down right now, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry for the confusion.
Don't go away. Okay, we're going to move on to number 14, case number 21-131.
510. Then you're 10.
Nunami? You're going to have to help me. I'm sorry. Would you please take your pen? Yeah.
Fungia, only.
Say that one more time, a little slower.
Fungia.
Fungia.
Only. Thank you.
This is case number 21-131, and I'm going to ask for your help once again on pronouncing your name correctly. It's licensee Pungia Fuji. On August 4th, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility complaint investigation at AZI House LLC, located at 2001 West Casmine Lane in Tucson, Arizona. On October 4th, 2021, DHS conducted an inspection at AZ House LLC. The complaint investigation identified 3 deficiencies in 2 different areas. The compliance inspection identified 15 deficiencies in 9 different areas. Okay. Ms. Bungie was notice of the complaint that she did send in her written response. On approximately September 14, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violation. The manager failed to ensure a caregiver provided documentation of completing a caregiver training program approved by the department or by the NCIA board. That concludes my review this.
This is another house, right? License for how many?
10.
And what can you tell us about this caregiver that did not have certification?
At a certain point, as he has lost a lot of the caregivers, so we had just one caregiver that was licensed, that had a license. So we brought in an assistant caregiver who was in the process of getting their license.
And so the assistant caregiver, were they identified as an assistant?
No, we identified her, I don't understand.
What is required for somebody to be an assistant caregiver?
She was in the process of going into school to become a caregiver. So we try to get her in.
What is the regulation around an assistant caregiver? What can and can't they do?
They cannot. They have to be under the supervision of a caregiver, and Well, has a vision.
And what documents do they have to have in order to be an assistant caregiver? They can be going to school. What other documents do they need to have to be on that floor?
We went by the experience that she has.
And is that what the rule says we can do? What does the rule say we can do?
They're supposed to provide documentation from the board.
Okay, well, we definitely need to.
How long have you had your license, your manager certificate?
I was hired March 1st, and the incident happened August 1st. August 4th.
You got your manager certificate in March?
I had a license in 2017, then I let it last because I didn't have a job and I was in school. Then I went back and rewrote the exam. So the first time I was able to was March 1st, 2021, and then the incident happened August.
So you were re-certified as a manager in August, or
prior to that.
Yeah. So you've been a manager, then you are, now you are again. Okay. Let's see what this is. Definitely personnel requirements. Anybody have more questions?
I've got a question of what it's actually in our folders or our file. It shows that it's a $500 fine against her as a manager, but then if you scroll through our documents, it shows that the facility was fined $1,750 for unsafe condition. So, and in it, I know I had to turn the sideways, and in it, it said that the manager failed to do certain things. So why is that not part of this citation? That's what I understand.
That part, I guess, didn't go to enforcement, but what was the citation for?
Later. It's 2 months after.
2 months after. So would that be a separate action by us if it came to us?
I guess it is.
Okay. Well, I mean, what page are you looking at that has the other amount?
515. Dated November 9, 2021. Civil penalty was $1,750. And I'm assuming she was the manager at that time. But it is not included with the complaint.
Yeah, the 500 was assessed on 9/14 and 21, and then this one is 11/9.
Yeah.
Is this involving the same case?
I don't know, because in our complaint allegations on page 510, it does say, number one, the manager failed to ensure the premises used at an assisted living facility was free from a condition or situation that may cause a resident or other individual to suffer physical injury. We did not address that any further in this complaint allegation, because the only substantial one was the one where it says that she failed to ensure caregiver provided documentation completing the training. But then there was a fine because of the unsafe condition.
And that was after, is that correct?
But it showed up in our complaint allegations, number
right,
one.
Right.
On August 4th, or I'm sorry, on October 4th of 21, they identified three deficiencies in two areas, and one of them was the unsafe condition. So I don't quite understand that. I don't know which we should be addressing. Are we addressing only that there was not documentation that the caregiver had the proper training, or are we going to deal with the unsafe condition that she allowed to happen? Because she was the manager.
So to the board, this one should only be the one from. This one should be only one from September 14th for the $500.
That's what I'm saying, that's what it says, but in the complaint allegation, it's specifically spelled out, number one, the manager failed to ensure premise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yada, yada, yada. So, to me, that's a bigger issue than the documentation that's, well, I guess they're both equal, but it, an unsafe condition is just, to me, something.
It is addressed in the board action sheet. We hear environmental standards.
That was just my concern.
Brandon, are you saying that that other enforcement action?
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I didn't write this one up, so I'm sorry about that.
Well, see, that's what's so confusing is because it's written up in our complaints, but yet it's not addressed.
Did we notice the respondent regarding the second 1750?
So the one that I'm referring to is only the one for $500.
Okay. Then since we didn't notice it for that day, it wouldn't be appropriate.
That's what I was appropriate.
Yes. Good question.
I think we've got enough here on a recommendation for a motion. It's going to cover environmental standards, service plans, personal requirements, residency agreements. I'm prepared to make the motion. We'll see more votes.
Okay, thanks.
The information contained in the investigative report and move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446-07B3, ARS 44610. AAR or AAC R4 33407A and B1 has been complaint number 21-1 involving manager one here and the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded into formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate and state of suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $594. 3 hours of continuing education with executive director's pre-approval required and document completion in each of the following areas. Service plans, personnel requirements, environmental standards, and residency agreements. Any costs of information are those of the certificate holder.
A second.
Roll call will be President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Randall.
Aye.
Member Siemens. Member Stephen.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Jack, on the next three of the non-disciplinary letter of concern, are these all referencing service plans, and you want us to vote on these as a block, or do you want us to individually review?
Madam Vice Chairman, Board Member Kidder, it's really the board's discretion. If these people are here, we can hear from them. If you're comfortable with the fact patterns and the recommendations, you can block vote them. And that goes for the dismissals too. If there's any cases that you want pulled from the block votes, we can talk with the board and see if they want to pull any. Otherwise, it's a block vote will give you the final disposition.
Sorry, board members, of the letter of concern cases, are you all comfortable with going with the staff recommendations and we can vote on them as a block, or do you want to speak with any of the individual managers directly?
I'm comfortable with going with the staff recommendations presented for my personal opinion.
To recommend non-disciplinary letter concerns for complaints number 21-130, 21-132, and 21-152.
Second.
and go with the staff's note of concern in the documentation.
I second.
Roll call, President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye. Motion carries. Do we need to define or just we can accept the recommendations that we have in front?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
They're just not disciplinary.
I make a motion to accept the board's recommendation for dismissal of items 18 through 32.
I'll second.
To the board, I need to pull one of those from the recommendation. The licensee sent in and said they want to voluntarily surrender their license for number 21-134 wants a voluntary suspend.
If they're going to dismiss, we can just send them an inactive.
Okay, so let's pull that one. So then I'll amend my motion to be 18.
Wait. Member Kidder, it's fine. We'll just send an inactive status document to them if they want to do that instead. They don't need disciplinary action, especially if you're going to dismiss.
So the motion is for a block vote for items 18 through 32. I did not hear a second.
I did.
Siemens seconded.
Thank you very much.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Motion carries. Can I get somebody right here? It says line.
So we just
had. Are we going?
You're here for numbers 18 through 32. They've been dismissed with no action.
Do we want to tell 15 through 17?
Yeah, and if you're 21-130, 21-132, Liesel Dunn, Barbell O'Day, and Maria Moreno, you'll get a non-disciplinary letter of concern. Just noted the board's concern.
Madam Vice President, are we going to go to number 7, applications next?
Please.
Please.
Number 8.
I'm sorry, number 8.
Number 8.
Yes,
he
did.
Huh.
Muriel Arturi?
No,
I'm talking about Roman number, Roman numeral number 8, which is review, discussion, possible action on licensure.
Yes.
First person is Amber Scott.
Amber Scott?
This is page number 1374.
Can you state your name, please?
Amber Scott.
Amber Scott. Wait, excuse me. Did you have a question?
Yeah.
Were you one of the people that was dismissed?
No, I was number 3.
You got here a little late.
Oh, you're late.
We'll
come
back around to you. Just be patient with us.
Okay, me?
Yes.
No.
Thank you.
Oh. Oh, she was...
She was dismissed.
She was dismissed. She was number 28. Your case is dismissed.
Can I go home?
You can go home.
No arrest.
Go back to work.
Yeah.
Thank you.
God bless you guys.
Yeah.
And nice to meet you after 30 years of being manager.
Okay.
And owner. God bless you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Okay.
What page number is it? I'm sorry. 1374. Okay, and her licensing specialist will take it away.
On February 9th, 2022, Amber Scott applied to become a certified assisted living facility manager. Her application was administratively complete on February 15th, 2022. She did answer truthfully to the question of whether she had ever been charged with a criminal offense. The charge was declined by the district attorney's office. On September 26, 2010, Amber Scott was arrested as a perpetrator of domestic violence, and she was also deemed a victim of the same Domestic Violence Act. The charge was declined by the district attorney's office. We included her statement and court paperwork.
Thank you.
Do you have a recommendation?
What are you doing now?
I'm a hospice social worker. And you want to become a manager?
Yes.
You sure? So far. And so, I don't know, so this declined means that they declined to open a charge.
They declined to prosecute.
They declined to prosecute.
Because of the guidance from the board, we're bringing all charges, all arrests to the board. Staff recommendation would be to approve the application allow her to be licensed.
Okay.
Or, I'm sorry.
She hasn't taken the test yet?
She has, and she's passed the test, and she's actually paid her issuance fee before she came to the board meeting. She is ready to be issued if you choose.
And what are you going to do with your manager certificate?
I don't know just yet.
Just going to keep it in your back pocket?
No, I'm going to utilize it. Okay. I'm going to utilize it. I just don't have a location just yet. I needed to make sure I could get the license in hand before I could do anything with it. So I'll cross that bridge once I actually have it in my hand.
Yeah.
Then I move.
She'd be great at her license.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay.
Let's do a roll call.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Motion carried.
So you're going to look like me, though, when you're 25. I'm only 25.
Thank you for coming down.
Thank you. Come back and visit, but not in that chair.
So will y'all mail her license to her?
We will.
Okay, next up we have Rebecca Grant. Rebecca,
is Rebecca there?
She's a machine. This is actually not her first time being requested to come to a board meeting to answer for her.
Yeah.
It's not necessary or mandatory for somebody to be here for an application. Mm-hmm. So I would ask the board to review it and make a determination one way or another.
Today.
We're going to, yes, please.
And this is Assistant Attorney General James Meyer. Please make sure that your motion, if you do decide to deny the license, make sure it's not based on the fact that she's not here. I will direct you to the statutes where you can find a reason.
Okay. Would you like me to read?
Yes.
On December 22nd, 2021, Rebecca Grant applied to become a certified assisted living facility manager. Her application was administratively complete on January 28th, 2022. She did answer truthfully to the question of whether she had ever been charged with a criminal offense. On March 3rd, 2021, Rebecca Grant was arrested for the following: 3 counts of disorderly conduct involving domestic violence, 1 count of criminal damage, another count of domestic violence involving defacing. Grant's fingerprint clearance card was originally denied, and she applied for a good cause exception, which was granted. Included are her grant statement, her fingerprint clearance card denial, her anger management completion certificates, her police reports, and her court report.
Did she take the test yet?
So is she still going through counseling and anger management classes? Because it's just
She is not. And she has not passed the exam.
She completed, I'm sorry, I'm trying to scroll.
She's taken it.
She's taken the exam, but she has not passed it yet.
Okay. I'm sorry. Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. I didn't scroll far enough.
I'm sorry.
I guess I have some concerns only in that the issues involved are so recent. And if we grant her a license, I know she took an anger management course, but if you're in a home by yourself, turn in the place, fly off the handle at all, and I get nervous about that. I know you can take courses, and sometimes they don't sink in, sometimes they do, you can still pass the course. I don't know how to deal with that, but it's very, very recent. That makes me nervous, because someone could be hurt very quickly. She hasn't shown that other than for a domestic issue, but that's my concern at the moment, and I'll be happy to hear from anybody else what they think.
Do we know why she's not here? Did she indicate she would or wouldn't be here?
She has not. I've been in touch with her. I've emailed her. I've let her know both times she's been requested to come, but I do not know why she's not here.
Here she works at the Prescott Valley from what I can see.
But phone call, right? We've been in on the phone. I think in the past we've done something to the effect of providing all provisions are met, that we can grant, but automatically put her in a probationary status where she, I don't know, comes to some extra meetings or just something to kind of keep a better tab on her.
Can I make a suggestion from my experience, not just at this board, but other boards? She answered truthfully on her application. That's the first step. Didn't try to deny anything.
Right.
She went through the court perversion process, did her domestic violence classes, took them, passed them, and the court dismissed criminal charges. So there actually could be an argument that she was never convicted of anything because she did the pretrial diversion.
She wasn't convicted, you are correct, because they dismissed it.
So literally you have somebody not dissimilar to a DHS inspection where they had a couple of violations, they fixed it, and here we are. My suggestion to the board would be to accept the application if she meets all the other requirements, i.e. she gets her fingerprint card back, she passes the test, allow her to be certified as a manager on the cover.
Does she have a fingerprint card?
She does.
She does. Okay. So the only thing she left is the test, passing our exam.
She has to pass our exam and pay the issuance fee.
Okay.
And she's taken it once.
She's taken it once. She has it until April 12th to complete that exam and pass it. And
she has to take it again.
She will have to take it again.
She's probably waiting to see what we do.
So she didn't pass her exam.
She didn't pass the first time.
But she passed the school exam.
She's got her manager certificate and her caregiver certificate. She just didn't pass the Arizona exam.
I prepare to make a motion. I move to approve Rebecca Grant for Lance Assignment Manager Certificate pending passing all required examinations within the substantive time frame or the certificate will be denied.
I second.
Roll call.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next up we have Vanessa Owen.
Aye.
October 11th, 2021, Vanessa Owen applied to become a certified assisted living facility manager. Her application was administratively complete on October 22nd, 2021. She answered truthfully to a question of whether she had ever been charged with a criminal offense. On February 28, 1990, Vanessa Owen was charged with two counts of malicious mischief to a vehicle. A bench warrant was also issued on February 20, 1991 in reference to this count. We included as Vanessa Owen's statement, and the court report could not be provided. The court sent me documentation saying these files have been destroyed per the court.
Destroyed as in
a lot of the agents.
Records retention.
Right, records retention.
Okay. So passed exams?
Yes.
And this was
30 years ago? On the one count?
And what did you do to a car?
Oh, my mom was, I took her car. Joyriding. I was a troubled teenager and yeah.
How old were you?
I was 19.
And you took your mom's car
and yeah. So, yeah, they were very strict, and I deserved it. I got in trouble for it, so.
Still shows on my record. What are you going to do with your license, your manager's certificate?
I actually work at Cottonwood Village in Cottonwood, Capital Seniors. It's over 100 residents, and I will be hoping, he already suggested for me to be the manager, the executive director, Jared. So I plan on doing it there. Just there for now, I would like to do two, but I know that's a big facility. And right now I'm med tech at memory care on the top floor. So, yeah.
So how long have you been employed there?
For there, it'll be 2 years in August.
Are you from the Cottonwood area?
No, I'm from California. So
where
I live
here. Where do you live?
I live in Cottonwood.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
But I've lived there for 8 years.
Okay. Now, I just meant, are you living in the same city?
Yes, I am.
Working on it and moving in. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Yes.
That's okay.
And how you are currently a caregiver working there as a med tech?
Yes.
And you've been doing that how long?
For 2 years there, yeah.
And prior to that, you're a caregiver?
I worked at Spectrum Healthcare. For over 2 years, and I also worked at Sedona Sky Academy, as well as for troubled teenagers. It was a boarding school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they can learn from your errors.
Yeah, and I have a lot of behavioral, because I used to work on the intense care team as well, so, and treatment center there.
I would make a motion to grant licensure, her certificate rather, pending everything being complete, which I believe it is.
I second.
Roll call, please.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph? Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Madam Vice President, we have another person that's present for a case, and that case number, I believe, is 21-149, number 3 on your agenda, Seth Amalo.
Is he the only one that came late and is in the audience?
I am aware of. Is there anybody else here for an agenda item?
Okay.
Just CEUs?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be here.
Can you introduce yourself, sir?
This goes back to base 119.
My name is Seth Amalo. This is case number 21149. Seth Amalo is a licensee. On August 26, 2021, the Department of Health Services, DHS, conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Alert Adult Care located at 10247 West Missouri Avenue in Glendale, Arizona. The compliance inspection identified 9 deficiencies in 7 different areas. Mr. Amala was noticed of the complaint, but he did not respond. Approximately October 20th, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violations. The manager failed to ensure caregiver provided documentation of completing a caregiver training program approved by the department or the board of examiners for nursing care institution administrators and an assisted living facility managers, NCIA board, for 1 of 4 caregivers reviewed. Number 2, the manager failed to ensure the manager designated in writing a caregiver who was present on the assisted living facility's premises and accountable for the assisted living facility when the manager was not present on the assisted living facility premises. That is my conclusion. Mr. Mall is here to respond.
So why didn't you answer the letters and et cetera from the board?
I did. I did reply. I did send a plan of action.
I must have sent that to DHS, not to us.
Yeah, it's a different agency.
Oh. So I did send out that. Unfortunately, the day of inspection, I was not available. I got a call, and that is the day my son was reporting at the Air Force Academy. I had to be there with him. But the owner was there, and one of the complaints was that one of the caregivers had a certificate that was issued by a school that was not licensed. So what I did was I called the owner and told her to get the employee off the schedule immediately. She did that, and that employee was went to another school before he could be returned to work.
And do you hire people there?
Most of the time I don't do hiring, and what I told the owner was there is a site that anybody who comes with a certificate, you have to go to this site, enter their name, and check if it is valid. If they say they were trained after 2013, then their name should appear online. If it doesn't appear, then that school is phone.
And what if their certificate was before 2013?
So I know most people who are registered before. This would be my suggestion, is just to retrain people, because things change. And because I would take your word for it, but I don't trust but verify. So that is my practice, that if somebody comes and says, hey, I was trained in 2011, how do I prove that? Because somebody can just go and get a certificate anyway and say I was trained in 2011. So I would suggest that before we take anybody, either they take that option to retrain, to get to be recertified, so that their name appears somewhere.
And does your owner support you?
Yes.
In that decision?
Yes, she did. Because that is the only condition. I say, I'm not going to put my name there if you're not going to support me. Either you support me in whatever I want to do to help you, or I'm out.
Good for you. And so the person who was there, so that was the only thing that went to enforcement, right?
Yeah. So do you understand the difference between what this board does and what the Department of Health does?
No, I do, because I've never appeared here. Because I've always been on top of things, and if I got the letter, I could have responded, but I did not. But whatever I got, I sent to the other. I thought they would share. Unfortunately, the agencies don't share that much.
Did this letter not come to you?
No, I did not. I did not get the letter. I had a letter, actually, when I did the POC, they sent a letter that they needed further evidence, and I redid that, and I submitted more evidence to them. If I did get this letter, the only letter that I got was this summoning me to come to attend. And if I had received that letter, I would have sent all the required documentation in.
Does they also call?
And we sent an email as well.
Mm-hmm. He chose not to respond, or he didn't get the letter. I did. Again, we don't have the statutory authority to take an action if somebody hasn't responded. So while it's important that, I mean, this is his licensing board, I don't know that we can do a whole lot as far as any corrective action or.
No, I guess just make sure that all the information is correct in our files.
On this subject matter, I responded twice, but I didn't know I was not responding to you. So I responded twice.
And there may be a little discrepancy in the understanding of the difference between the agencies.
Yes.
And to the board members, I did speak with the owner of this facility on Friday, and I just explained this to her, and she also thought that she was responding to us when they responded to DHS.
Yes.
She didn't know either.
No.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I have a question on the second violation. The manager failed to ensure that the manager designated in writing. Did you not do that?
No, the only problem that happened was the board where the notices are, I know there is a requirement that it should be open, but when you open the door goes against that board. So the list is there, and the surveyor did not, she did not even ask. She would have asked, the board is there with all the license, because I
yeah,
remember.
But no, it's who you designated.
The list of designated caregivers is there.
So some of your postings are covered by the door when the door is open.
Exactly, because the thing was, initially we had a table where there's a thermometer and hand sanitizer.
Uh-huh.
To make room for that, we moved the board and put it there. I think it was not well thought of. So when you open the door closes against that board. So if somebody walks in, they cannot see the board.
Did the surveyor, the door have to have closed at some point?
She did, the door was closed, but that was one of the things. But we called. I called and I explained to her, and that is, she said she will take it off. So that was one of the things. But
did she take? She didn't take it off.
She didn't take it off. But what, that was one of the things. We had a telephone conversation with her and the owner.
So did he answer your question?
He has
a document of who his designees are. It was just behind the door where she couldn't see it.
And whoever was there didn't say, I'm the designee and here's my authorization to be that person. It works both ways.
Exactly, and I think when the caregiver, he freaked out when he was told his certificate was not there. So I think at that moment he panicked. I don't know why, but that's most likely what happened.
How long have you been a manager?
Since 2013.
Questions from the people on the phone?
None for me.
Disciplinary action. boards and...
A letter of concern?
Yeah, it's borderline. It could go either way. You've been licensed since 2013?
Yes, sir.
How many other inspections have you had from DHS during that time?
We've had licensing inspection almost every year. And I've been on top of things.
Is this the first one that's gotten to enforcement?
This is the first one. And I think just because of the miscommunication of you guys not getting a paper.
What's your takeaway? What did you learn from this inspection as far as the POC and everything else?
The takeaway is that probably I should have been a little bit keen on the certificates of the caregiver's credentials. I could have gone through them again when they were hired. And another thing was, do not always assume that anybody who walks into the building will see where everything is. Because sometimes we take things for granted and not everybody looks for things like that.
So during that time, they haven't found you non-compliant with fingerprint clearance cards? No other little personal paperwork kind of things?
No.
You're welcome.
If the issue was something wasn't designated, so Member Campbell, are you saying, I didn't read through it again, but was it that the caregiver on site didn't realize they were going to designate? Is that what your question was?
An invalid caregiver training certificate.
And so that certainly would negate them being a designee because they don't have a valid caregiver certificate. So the one issue caused two citations. And so now your owner hires.
Oh no, I go over things. If she hires anybody, I want to go over things because at the end of the day, it is my license.
Right.
Yeah.
And what do you do when you're looking at all of their certifications and fingerprint cards? What do you?
Well, the first thing is to call. I can call Alan's office, or if I cannot see it.
It's not Alan anymore. It's this gentleman here who's been asking me questions.
You keep calling Alan.
Same number.
Okay, so because that is what I told her, either you call Alan's office if you're hiring somebody, or you go to this website. Now, I have it indicated there. Go to this website if you're hiring anybody, key in their license number, check the school, because there are some people who are still doing it. And if somebody comes to you, I was training in 2016, I would go there, check, the names should all appear there. If the name is not there, do not hire them.
Yeah.
So that is only my condition. If she's not going to follow up with that, then I'll just get my license.
Good. Okay. I personally would be okay with a letter of concern or even just I think there's an understanding of what the rules are. A piece of paper behind the door.
And is this non-disciplinary?
The letter of concern would be non-disciplinary.
Because
I think he has a good grip.
Yeah.
And I think a surveyor who cites somebody for having a piece of paper behind the door.
What's the letter of concern for?
I would actually be okay with dismissal, to be honest. I don't know if anybody would support dismissal. All right. I move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 21-147 against Seth Amalo. period.
Do we have a second?
Secretary, second.
Roll call.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Can you turn your mic up, please?
Member Rando?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Those are carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Can all of the people for CEUs?
I don't know.
Can they be?
They're here for CEUs.
Can they be?
So can still do CEUs right now?
I think they should listen to this.
Yeah, okay, we're almost done. We have a board president's report.
Well, let's, Madam Vice Chair, can we go back to Roman numeral number 7A? We have unresolved cases for the people that were not here.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure that A2, case number 21-109, wants to be, I think there's one or two board members that might want that pulled out of the block vote. So we might want to go to that one first, and then we can block vote the staff recommendations on the rest of them, and then we'll go to the president's report and the executive record report.
Okay. Then I would make a motion that we grant approval for the disciplinary consent agreement as outlined by the investigative process for the people who did not appear here today, which would be case number, do you want all the case numbers?
Just either case number or item number.
Item one. Item
two.
Two.
No, they didn't show.
Two. That'd be item two. Item one.
Item number six.
And six, Carlos Roble.
And six and 13. Correct?
And 14.
Oh, 13, beg your pardon, 13 was moved down to dismiss.
Yes.
No,
so
14 is here.
So the block vote will consist of item numbers A1, A6, and A14.
What about 14?
Number
14
was here.
And
number 2
were
pulled.
We're going to talk about that in a sec. So,
just A1 and A6.
A1 and A6.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Second.
President Kidder?
Can you just restate the motion?
Sorry.
I got kicked off and covered up.
Okay. I'm making a motion that we take the staff recommendations for disciplinary consent agreements be sent with the provision put out by our investigator for case number 21-100, which is number one on our A1, and then number six, which is case number 21-160, that they receive a consent agenda agreement to solve their issue.
Okay, so one and six, is number two going to be handled separately?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. All right, so yes, I will say aye to motion.
I did second it.
Okay. So
he just asked that it be restated. So.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Motion carries. The last one then to discuss is item A2, case number 21-109. I believe the case in hand, the issue at hand is that the person that is listed here as a complainant was not the manager at the time of the survey.
Vice Chairman, can you, would you like staff to give a summary like the other ones, and then we can get into the
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Great idea. Thanks, Brendan.
This is case number 2198. The licensee is Felicia Mays. We're right here. Ms. Mays was the certified assisted living manager just prior to the annual DHS compliant inspection for Springdale Village Assisted Living conducted on September 14, 2021 and September 15, 2021. And I do need to make note that this initial complaint came from Dr. Charles Villafranca, who opened this case prior to us getting our inspection. Ms. Mays was responsible, it goes on further to say, Ms. Mays was responsible to ensure compliance with DHS regulations and failed to do so and is responsible for these deficiencies. Ms. Mays ended her employment without notice in the middle of her shift and walked out on her residence. A complaint was also filed with the Arizona State Board of Nursing. During that complaint, it was discovered that Ms. Mays was a licensed practical nurse in the state of Illinois and had her nursing license revoked on 5/25/2016. During the survey, it was noted that Ms. Mays had accepted residents without being in compliance with rule number 9-10807.B.1A-B. And a civil monetary penalty was assessed in the amount of $8,670 for a repeat deficiency and a $500 CMP for one resident who did not have a written service plan. Ms. Mays worked as a nurse and a certified manager overseeing 40 residents at the time. And there was an additional document attached with the enforcement actions, which is part of the SOD report from DHS.
And so, was Ms. Mays notified?
Ms. Mays was notified. She did respond. And Mrs. Mays' response, she says, the manager of record for the facility, I'm sorry, on October 27th, Ms. Mays was notified of the complaint. She responded with a written notice. Ms. Mays stated that she currently works at a Amazing Adult Care located 5940 West Villa Teresa Drive in Glendale, Arizona. Ms. Mays also stated that all residents were admitted into the facility were approved by Dr. Charles Villafranca, and she was not allowed to make any independent approvals. And that was her conclusion.
So
point number three says she was also not the manager of Springdale at
yes.
the time of that survey, is that correct?
Yes.
So.
And that she no longer had access to any records from Springdale Village Assisted Living.
Okay. So,
furthermore, on October 27, 2021, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $9,170 upon the facility licensee for the following substantiated violations. One resident did not have documenting indicating whether the resident required continuous medical services, continuous or intermittent nursing services, or restraints prior to admission. And one resident did not have a service plan.
And so this person though was not the manager.
Correct, according to DHS.
And what do our records show? Do we have record of her being appointed as the manager of Springdale?
I do not have that from Ms. Mays.
Did she indicate who the manager actually was?
Ms. Mays only referred to Dr. Villafranca as making all decisions. She did not state who the manager was.
Do we have anything on file anywhere of who the manager is?
I'm sure we do, Madam Vice President, members of the board, I'm sure we do. It may have to be researched further.
Well, during the course of your investigation, did you have opportunity to talk to Dr. Villafranca?
I did talk to Dr. Villafranca, but not to be, no, I did not discuss with Dr. Villafranca in an interview process, no. I just
okay,
did
so this. What does Board Stamp want us to do with this one? I'm not sure I understand.
That is the question. Did Do we know from Department of Health Services, did they indicate who the manager of record was at this time?
According to DHS, they advised that Dr. Villafranca was the interim manager at the time.
So
I think according to what the board has done in the past, you have dismissed the complaint against the non-manager of the facility and opened a new complaint.
And I guess to the understanding of what we're probably doing, this was an actual complaint filed with us, like a family member would file. This happened to be her supervisor, presumably, who filed this. And that's why we're here listening to it. But it sounds more like an employment issue versus her as a functioning manager issue. Is that why we would dismiss it? Because
I personally would not jump to any assumptions like that until we've actually done the due diligence and investigated it. I wouldn't make a yes or no comment to that.
It sounds like what you should probably do is continue this matter and to get more investigative materials.
Okay. Then I make
a motion. Yeah, it doesn't sound like we just don't have enough information.
So, will this be back on our agenda at the next meeting?
It'll be back once they have the materials and have time to disseminate it. So, could be next meeting, could be next meeting.
Okay. So we would make a motion to continue this until further investigation takes place.
If you make a motion, I'll second it.
I'd like to say one of the things that concerned me in this case, and maybe it's part of the investigation, I thought I read that the documentation issue that was mentioned was a repeat deficiency from compliance inspections in 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020. It sounds like it's just been repeated for 5-6 years in a row.
And those could be owned by 5 different managers.
It could be, I don't know.
So that's the inspection,
but it's very confusing and to me a very disturbing issue to see that long. I've never seen that before.
Right, so the staff is going to have to complete the investigation, find out.
I agree.
All right, if this person was the manager, who was the manager? Were there multiple managers? We need to open another case. Let's get us some more information, and let's just defer any further discussion and until we have more information.
So we're moving to continue until we have more investigative reporting to present to the board.
Yeah.
Roll call.
Do we have a second?
Yes, we had one from.
Yeah, I seconded it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Roll call.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Motion carries. Now, are we?
Motion passed.
Motion passed. That's carried.
We're
the same thing.
Does the board president want to give a report?
Oh, I have none for this month.
Yeah. I have two.
I haven't done anything in the last month.
Yeah, we know.
It actually has only been 2 weeks since I've been president, so I have nothing to report.
I think he needs to get to work. It's a time schedule.
Can I take over real quick?
Why, sure.
Thank you.
From the staff report, budget, we're going to be close on our budget with our appropriation this year, just because of the staffing changes and retirements. I don't think I've overspent yet, but we're going to be close. Board member pay, I'm falling on the sword. None of you have received your $30 per day for your attendance at board meetings since last July.
I'm devastated.
There was a break in the process. It's since been corrected. Everybody's getting paid. We counted up all of our licensing administrator was nice enough to count up all the days that you were present since July. You're going to be getting your checks this Thursday, Friday. So $30 a day, a lot of, some people had 10 meetings that weren't paid for. Travel pay was reimbursed about the $30 a day. So we've taken care of it and fixed it. So you're not paid for your service.
It's going to bump me up to another tax bracket.
Great state of Arizona. Yeah.
And prior to this, that doesn't exist.
Legislation update. As you know from my email, Senate Bill 1202 passed, Senate Bill 1242 passed. Yay. Big thank you to our former president, Wally Campbell, very influential study committees, and everybody that spent time lobbying. Susan, Dr. Villafranca, board member Steven, with AARP, it was all very helpful, and we got the legislation through. The board's renewed for 2 years, and then we have the reform bill, and I will start bringing you a plan with how we're going to implement some of that thing. Some of it may happen pretty quickly. There was an emergency clause, and one of the things was changing license renewal dates to birth dates for administrators and managers. As you know, the administrator renewal is coming up in less than a month, and we may have to try to shuffle the renewal dates and expiration dates into 2024 with that new prorated expiration date and birth dates. I have to figure out if we can get it done and what the fees are going to, how the fees will impact us and licensees. We don't have a plan yet, but I'm giving you a heads up on it. The only other thing I have really is there's a list of open investigations in your information. There's over 200 open investigations right now. We're still playing catch up. Last thing is NAB is having their annual meeting in Chicago this year in June. I put the flyer in your board materials. They pay for one person to attend NAB. And this is the call to see if any board members want to attend NAB in June. Registration started this week, so we would have to know this week if anybody wants to attend.
President Kidder probably wants to go to Sweet Home Chicago.
I don't, you know, I'm going to have to look at my calendar. Is there anybody else that would be interested? Go ahead. I'd like attending the NAB conferences. With COVID, those have been disrupted, plus life's gotten a lot more difficult in the facility. So, if there's anybody else that's ready prepared to say yes and they want to go, let's vote on it right, you know, at this point. What we can do, Jack, is vote to approve one member to go, and then we get Kristen and we'll pay for that, and just leave it undefined as the individual. I think we've done that in the past.
Chicago, I think whoever goes should make an agreement to stay in a hotel and knock them out so they don't get shot.
Wow, they gotta go to the game, they gotta go to the
I would go, don't know if it's appropriate. The administrator folks?
It's June, the annual meeting is in Chicago, June 8th through the 10th. And, looks like registration needs to be done within the next month. Any direction from the board on that? Anybody want to go?
I think Ken wants to go.
Ken, is that, do you want to go?
Yeah, I'd like to go if I can. I will have to check with my schedule.
Okay.
Why don't we just vote to approve one member to go, and then you don't have to specify a name, and then if I can't go, then one other than could attend. We're already got it covered by both.
That's fine with
me. Across the board, anything.
Okay, I move that we send one member of this board to the NAB 2022 meeting in Chicago.
I'll second. If it was New York, it'd be all over.
Yeah. Vote.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Excellent. Thank you for doing that, Board. The only other thing is we tentatively have board meetings scheduled for April 11th and April 25th. I've settled in on scheduling two meetings a month because we seem to do well with these four-hour blocks of time. I know they're on Mondays. Everybody's still working full-time. My expectation is by May, if we continue about 30 cases a month, we'll get close to caught up. But I know your time is precious. And yes, I hear you. I hear you. I see your emails. So that's what we have scheduled, unless there's any objection to that. Staff will plan for those two meetings in April. April 11th and April 25th.
I have a question. Since we have been voted through to continue for another 2 years, do we believe that we will be able to get some new board members?
I'm unable to answer that because, as you know, the agency and board staff do not have control over that. My expectation is that we will not be getting any new board members between now and fall, at least not until the session's over. That's my expectation.
Hey, you're retired.
And then I would expect the governor to appoint every single vacant board position on all agencies, all boards, all commissions before he leaves office. That's my expectation.
So people should apply still if they're interested.
Absolutely. If you have a name, you know somebody who wants to put the time in, along with having them apply to the governor's office, please give me the name because if and when I do talk to them, I can tell, well, I know this person is interested. And it does become a political process. But we have no control over who gets selected.
They can't be from the same company, probably.
There's no
okay, that. They're applying. I'll get them all applying.
So I did notice on our website, there's one member position that's not listed, which is the family member. Is that gone? Because they're supposed to be an 11th person board.
It's never been appointed.
I know it hasn't been appointed. I'm just saying that this is not showing up as a vacant seat.
No, it's on the statute, so it's.
I know it's on statute.
It's there.
What's your question? I'm missing the question.
On our website.
Okay.
You moved my name into vice president.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We did that quickly.
I did. I got my little sign. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And it lists 10 positions, 6 of which are filled, 4 of which are not, and there's one that's missing, which is a family member.
They probably don't list it because they've never been appointed, and nobody's going to know that anymore.
Well, I've never been one.
It hasn't been appointed, so it's not been updated.
If any of you with CVs want to be on the board, this is
what else?
So fun.
Are you done?
I'm done with my report.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Fred.
Bye, Ken.
Good night.
Thank you, everybody.